Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in show.
Welcome!
Muster up the synthetic energy. Sound. Oh, the mic's on. Hey, everybody, welcome to Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. It's a magical Thursday night as we fire into another fine broadcast, or broadcast fine or otherwise. It's going to be a good time regardless of all that. Want to be a part of it? You can. Call us on the Huntsville Lines, 877-744-6105. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Best in Show. BestinShowRio.com, your Thursday night fun, or whatever. I don't know. My name's Chris. I'm going to be one of the people that's going to be here with you, having a good time and talking and whatnot. As I look over across the table, I see someone else that's apparently been having a fantastic time reading The Onion online. It's my buddy Keith.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Keith.
Right. It's a little bit later than afternoon, though. Is everything okay? Did your alarm clock just go off?
Good afternoon, everybody. It's evening.
Sorry. And look over there. That's our buddy Fred.
Happy Thursday!
Oh, yeah. See, that's the synthetic energy we're talking about.
Fred's Thursday alarm is going off. Fred's Thursday wacky alarm. Forget it. I ruined it. Good morning, everybody.
No, afternoon. Afternoon, bro. Get it straight. And look over there. It's brown.
Good morning, Chris.
Does it bother you to be called Brown every week? Do you prefer to be called Brian? Do you like it? Do you dislike it?
I see it as a salute to the olden days, the good old days, as you guys might call it.
Wow, you know, I never, ever, ever even put that together. The fact that we used to do a show called The Brown Lodge, he thinks that's why I'm calling him Brown. No, that's not it. I've called a lot of my friends that are named Brian Brown.
I always thought that was a reference because I assumed the first time you said it, you said, "Who's that, Brown?"
Okay,
that's where that came from.
That's actually what it is. It's a Tribe Called Quest reference. That's exactly what it is. And look who's over there. It's our executive producer. He's riding the ship, making sure it all goes fancy. It's Rob Giggs.
Good evening.
Senior executive producer.
Afternoon, apparently. Oh, he's the senior executive producer now? Unbelievable.
I promoted him this afternoon. This morning.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Seriously, congratulations to you on all of it. Congratulations to you for taking over all the HR duties for the show. I appreciate that.
Fred is the HR manager now.
See, I was going to say you got to talk to Fred about his check. He's still complaining about
that. He kept bothering me about the check, so I just made him the HR manager and said, deal with it, bro.
Awesome. So it's Best in Show. If you want to be a part of it, like I said earlier, 877-744-6405. Or head over to HeroesTalk.com. Go over to the video section. Actually, if you go to HeroesTalk.com, it just pops up right there, right off the bat, and you can be a part of it and enjoy it. Or go over to Pal Talk, the TV radio section. You click on Heroes Talk Radio and be a part of the program. And that's about it. And that's about all I'm going to talk about.
You got an incoming call, Christopher.
Oh, good. That's my ringer because I like Girls Gone Wild, by the way.
Really?
Today I was listening back to Best in Show 1 today from February 19th.
Why in Christ's name would you do
2006.
That to yourself?
Because we need to catalog everything. So I'm listening to that, and the phone kept ringing. It's interesting. It's an interesting show.
What do you mean?
The phone kept. The reason it reminded me was because your phone your phone kept ringing. The best part is your phone kept ringing. You forget to turn the ringer off. I think it was week 5 when you finally realized to turn the ringer off before the show.
Oh, it was the house phone.
It was the house phone.
I do remember
ringing,
that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the good old days. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, that's because you haven't been listening to our show for 4 years. Go over to bestinshowradio.com, click on recorded audio, and check out the early years if you want to torture yourself.
4 years? What is wrong with your concept of time this afternoon?
What are you talking about? It's almost 2009, right? It's practically December.
I think it's been 2.5 years of Best in Show,
2005.
2006.
No, 2005. Definitely the first show. Nah, okay. All right. Maybe it's been a year. I don't know.
I love when his face, and we can't do a visual, obviously, but when his face says, 2005, definitely, and then it has this look like, come on, bro, don't realize I'm wrong.
No, you know what it was? It was, that moment was just like trying to, oh, wait, no, he totally is right. You know what it is? And this is a reference that makes no sense to anyone. I was organizing, hey, as we go HR again, I was organizing my HR folder at work today and realized that I've been working at my job since 2005, and I moved the 2005 folder. Isn't that exciting? It's so interesting.
It
so,
is.
Chris, you tell such great stories on the show. Why don't you let someone else try telling his story?
I see that look on his face every once in a while, and it's kind of like there's something inside fighting him. Like, he's arguing with himself about, like, I just said a fact, and then the other guy's inside going, you're just an idiot. Why would you say that? That's wrong. And then you're like, no, you're wrong. And then you're kind of, like, wrestling or something.
Pretty much the same way that I deal with every conversation in my life, whether it's on with myself or other people, no matter what.
But your eyebrows bounce up and everything. It's kind of really...
I'm always willing to bet someone, too, no matter what, regardless of how... Whatever, dude. Dude, I'm willing to bet $10,000. I know for a fact. Today, my big bet, by the way, I won. So somebody, one of the people I work with owes me $10,000 as a result of today because they insisted for some reason that that Spoon Man, who was done by Temple of the Dog, not done by Soundgarden. It's like so stupid.
Are you sure? I think it was done by Soundgarden. It was done by Temple of the Dog?
No, the other way around.
Oh, okay.
Soundgarden was the correct answer.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously,
yeah, definitely.
Because I'm a human being. I know my grunge. I know my Seattle rock.
I'm going hungry, dude.
All right, you know what then?
But, oh, geez, the Seattle Rock Game Show starts now.
All my friends are Indian.
Oh, I don't know.
All my friends are brown and red.
Fred Renz.
Who's that? Who's that? Is that Screaming
Spoon
Trees?
Man. That's the line from Spoon Man.
Oh, okay. I have no idea.
Well, all my friends are brown and Rob, actually.
You don't like Fred anymore?
Actually, all my friends are brown and Fred would have been much better. I'm leaving this morning. Forget it.
Awesome. So, like I said, I'm done talking. I'm done telling stories. I don't want to do anything. I'm gonna defer to somebody else.
I was listening back to a couple old shows. I guess you could call it old. And by couple, I mean one. The show that Chris and Keith have, the show that remains unnamed. The show who has yet to be... discussed. What are you guys calling that?
Voldemort?
Have you come up with it yet?
The new program?
Yeah.
I think the last idea that we said for it, I don't remember it. No, that wasn't the last idea. We came up with something else this past
weekend.
But
the other one was like identical to another virus host show or something.
Confidently ill-informed.
Oh, confidently ill-informed, right, based on a forum argument that was going on. For those that don't know what we're talking about, head over to heroestalk.com, click on forum. I'm sure you're all there anyway and enjoying yourself being a part of it. But, I like the idea of Thursdays. As for Tilt from a couple weeks back, he decided that he somehow was going to make our show confused as to Thursday and Sunday. Oh, wait, we did that. And he just was confused as well. So Sundays will be Thursdays.
All right. So while I was listening to the first Thursdays last Sunday, you guys were talking about a conversation. Yeah, a conversation came up, which, I mean, I know we've talked about this before. I think the last time you weren't around, Chris, we were talking and it frustrated you to no end. One little thing kind of like hit me where you were talking once again about your antisocial nature. And you guys were trying to argue about, like, who's more antisocial than the other. And what you were really referring to was that you're just not very social. You're a person who just stays home or prefers to stay at home, as opposed to...
I'm not pro-social. It's not that I'm not antisocial. I'm just not pro-social. I'm feeling you.
It always irritated me when people misuse antisocial, because antisocial doesn't mean not very social. It means psychopath. It basically means, you know, it's not just a shut-in. It's a person who is so against society, or a person who is just destructive against... Like, the Unabomber is antisocial. The kids who stormed through the halls in Columbine and started taking, you know, their fellow students out, they were antisocial. You just don't like to go out sometimes.
I'm not social? Would that work?
Maybe.
I'm unsocializing.
But, Bri, you're failing to realize when Chris does go out, he's the most sociable guy out there. Like, he's the life of the party. Do you know what I mean? So it's what's with that dichotomy there, that he doesn't like to go out, but when he does go out, he's the center of attention. Do you
no,
have
I
anything
get
to say
that.
About
I get,
that,
I get
Chris?
That. No.
No. But do you agree with it, though? Like, you don't like to go out, but when you do go out, you're going to have a fun time. You're going to let everybody know.
It depends. I don't necessarily think all the time. That's why I really said no. Don't get me wrong. There are those times when I'm going to go, when I'm going out and I'm ready to go, and I know it's like, you know, like our Labor Day event in particular. Like, I knew I was going out that night, and I knew it was, you know, everything was going to be a mess, and it was going to end in tears, and it was going to be terrific.
Which it did.
And it did, and that's the way it did.
They were happy tears.
Well, to some maybe. But, I mean, there's a lot of when I go out with my wife, like, I'm a normal person. I can go out to a bar and have a few drinks and not just be a total lunatic and hold court, for lack of a better term, and try and, like, you know, be the center of attention. That's not always the case for me.
I was wigging out about the antisocial reference, and it made me spin my wheels looking up the whole reference to antisocial. And, in fact, I was right. It basically is someone who's psychotic. And the, I guess, textbook definition is the essential feature for the diagnosis is a pervasive pattern of disregard or violation of the rights of others. It begins in early childhood or early adolescence and continues into adulthood. And it just, if you have no concern over other people's, I guess, existence or something, you're basically antisocial, which kind of got me thinking, like, you know, I'd always criticize the people who abused it because antisocial is kind of way out there. And
and your criticism of those who use it is borderline antisocial behavior on your part?
I kind of started looking into it a little more, and it's really starting to creep me out. Like, if you look at some of the criteria of diagnosis.
Perfect hair. Black trim glasses.
Wait, Brian, can I read it off?
Thinks he has a gorgeous set of genitals.
Bad on the radio.
Well, then we're all guilty.
Okay, fan of David Lynch, number one. No. All right, here we go.
All right, this is, just to clarify, some of the diagnostic criteria of being antisocial: read psychotic.
Failure to conform to social norms with respect to lawful behaviors as indicated by repeatedly performing acts that are grounds for arrest.
I will say that Brian does like to, as I affectionately call it, rage against the machine as often as he can. But you don't know that he does it in a way that he risks arrest.
Yeah, they seem to be very clear about that aspect of it, is that someone who's antisocial seems to be getting in trouble with the law pretty regularly, and that's not me, because I'm a pansy, basically.
Deceitfulness. Did you have something to say about that one,
Fred? No.
Oh, okay. Deceitfulness as indicated by repeatedly lying, use of aliases, or conning others for personal profit or pleasure.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
Wait, give it to me again.
Deceitfulness as indicated by constantly lying, use of aliases,
nicotine,
conning others for personal profit or pleasure.
I don't think that applies. I don't think that applies to you. I think
I didn't either, but he seems to.
I think you have a nickname.
Yeah,
you have a nickname that you that's a covert nickname because you're doing because you're stealing music when you're doing DJ stuff online. That's where it started from.
It's pretty benign, but I will say that every once in a while, I take pleasure in sort of just randomly making up a lie.
Stealing music, grounds for arrest.
And randomly making up a lie and sort of convincing strangers about silly stuff for really no reason. Or just arbitrarily kind of like telling a lie and running with it. It's never anything critical or important, but...
See, now this one, if I was to guess, I would think this doesn't apply to Brian. Impulsivity or failure to plan ahead?
All right.
I think he's about as calculated as they come. I don't think he's nearly as impulsive as he might want to think he is.
I agree, and half of my argument for this list was actually to kind of bounce it back at you guys.
Like, you're looking for a diagnosis. Well, I assume that's where we were going with this from the beginning. I apologize if that wasn't. I assume you were looking for a
diagnosis,
not
right?
So much a diagnosis, but also
affirmation.
I wanted to mirror it back on you guys. I mean, have you guys found yourself in trouble with the law? Are you particularly impulsive, Fred, deceitful at all? In your history?
I tell white lies, but not to the point where it's going to hurt anyone or hurt my relationship with someone.
He doesn't
know
hurt
I mean?
Anyone. He just hurts the radio show with exactly. his voice.
All right, this next one was a big red flag for me. Mm-hmm.
Irritability and aggressiveness as indicated by repeated physical fights or assaults.
Okay, well, I think Brian's father and brothers can attest that is actually accurate.
And the book guy at the bar,
right? And that guy who put his bag on a chair if he would have got back in the train in time.
And that baby at the movie theater
that went through. That's right. That's
the
right.
One that got thrown through the screen. That's right.
Right, and me after the show last week when Brian was about to take a swing, but
and that was this week.
Well, last
it all
show.
Happened like this. Oh, no, oh. Those. Yeah, that was this last week.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the first one that I didn't get a check mark on, so I'm glad.
What do you mean that you didn't get a check? Oh, he graded us all on there?
Or no, I'm just judging myself.
Okay,
over.
Okay, okay. Sorry.
I would love that Brian graded us on.
He handed his notes over to you. He handed his notes over to you that has his assessment of who everybody is and where their heads are at. Oh. I love the idea.
Reckless disregard for safety of self or others.
For self, maybe.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I was a little worried about that myself because I've looked back, particularly like after drunken kind of.
Why? Because one time after being drunk and hanging out at my house in the middle of the night, you decided you were going to try and turn the flags upside down on some of my neighbor's yards, and you tripped and almost broke your ankle doing it. Is that, would that count?
I've done some pretty ridiculous things that looking back on it is just... You know, why would I do that? But yeah, it's usually when I'm loaded.
And I think Brian Raging Against the Machine puts himself into those situations where he might be in bodily harm.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's because he loved Raging Against the Machine, the band, so much, he wanted to turn the flags over just like that poster because he thought that was so cool. He had that in his house.
I will put a bullet in your head.
Wow, I got another one. Constant irresponsibility, as indicated by repeated failure to sustain consistent work behavior or honor financial obligations.
I think the one they were going here was for work because apparently there's a pretty big pattern with people who are antisocial and they're not able to hold down a job, which has never been a problem for me. I'm pretty like fear is the big motivator for me. But that really has a lot to do with the fact that I am up to my freaking nostrils in debt. I just Same. Have it's
That's a problem with me. That's the one that I could say that I have a problem with. Not being to hold down a job.
And finally, lack of remorse, as indicated by being indifferent to or rationalizing having hurt, mistreated, or stolen from another.
Who cares?
I'm very remorseful in my life, so I think that just cleared me on the whole thing.
I as you go down the entire list, I think every single one, I think Brian has a couple of traits there. I think I have maybe one or two traits there. I think Fred may have one or two. You might have one. You know, I don't think that anybody is necessarily antisocial.
Apparently, if you have three of them, you are cause for alarm and maybe antisocial. Three or more of the following criteria.
Okay, so I think we're all safe then.
See, if you went down this list maybe when I was like 18, 19, 20, I might have had a couple of more of those, I think.
Well, I mean,
by the way, our buddy Deja's pointing out in the Heroes Talk Room, uh-oh, she has all of them but two. So I guess she has cause for alarm.
That makes sense.
Rage, by the way, Rage Against the Machine and Calls for Alarm are playing tomorrow night. It'd be awesome.
You know, sorry,
there's,
Brian.
There's a couple of other, like, there's just symptoms of a person who's typically antisocial. I'm going to run through a bunch of them. Persistent lying or stealing, recurring difficulties with the law, tendency to violate the rights and boundaries of others, which is the big thing. Substance abuse is huge, apparently. Like, there's a huge correlation between substance abuse and antisocial disorders. Aggressive, often violent behavior, prone to getting into fights. Persistent depressed feelings, inability to tolerate boredom.
I love boredom.
I like this one. Superficial charm.
I'd love to listen to the boredoms, but
superficial charm.
I love superficial charm.
That's the name of my new band.
No, I was going to say that's the name of the Sunday morning show. Superficial charm.
Inability to make or keep friends. That's another kind of like red flag for me, I think.
What are you talking about? You've got tons of friends.
I
hang out with the. Yeah.
He's got the guys here, though, right?
But at home, he has, like, family that he really...
Those fleas love him.
I think they actually even moved out. They moved out.
Well, interestingly enough, since we're on the subject of Brian...
Were we? Before you go there, I just want to take a minute, if I can, then... because Brian pointed out, I want to apologize officially and say that we inaccurately used the word antisocial to describe our behavior on past the first issue episode of Thursday. two Sundays ago, which will be coming on again this Sunday, Thursday, at 11 a.m. It's going to be great. So I'm sorry. I'm officially sorry.
I offer a complete and utter retraction. The imputation was totally without basis in fact and was in no way fair comment and was motivated purely by malice. And I deeply regret any distress that my comments may have caused you or your family. And I hereby undertake not to repeat any such slander at any time in the future.
All right, so I'm sorry. I'm officially sorry for using the term antisocial to describe our behavior at any point during the show. So now that I got that out, now that I got my little wacky sound effect out, please.
I just wanted to thank you, actually. I don't know if it's like when you're feeling bad, you go onto the internet and you research things and pretty much you decide that you have cancer through self-diagnosis. I was convinced I was a psychopath. And now after this conversation, I really think you guys saved me from that. Thank you. I really do feel better.
Oh, I don't think anyone suggested you weren't a psychopath.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Next topic.
You're a social psychopath.
I don't think that you're not a psychopath per se. I just don't think that you're necessarily antisocial clinically.
I was really kind of convincing myself that I was.
He's a socialist psychopath.
I was going to say, that is psychopathic, to try and convince yourself that you do have this antisocial disorder that doesn't exist.
God, there's this thing that I have at home that's called the Merck Manual. Have you guys ever heard of that thing?
The medical?
Yeah, the Merck Medical Manual. They do like a home version for it for basically dimwits who aren't like who have no idea what medical terminology means.
When we were discussing me being a potential hypochondriac months ago, somebody in our chat room, I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, said, whatever you do, don't get the Merck Manual.
Dude, you open that thing, particularly the last half of it is brain disorders, and you start becoming convinced that you're just a nutcase. Because
the Merck Manual, otherwise known as the You're Crazy book.
It's great. If anyone's like a writer out there, has any kind of interest in character analysis or trying to just come up with ideas, get that thing and read it. But be careful. It will give you cancer. You will be convinced you will.
I have crazy cancer. My crazy got so much cancer, it's dead now, and I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm no longer antisocial or crazy.
Good for you, Bri.
Thank you.
So, as you notice, like, a lot of us, like, some of us, we, you know, occasionally drink during the show. As Chris right now is drinking the new iced tea Poland Spring, but...
We'll talk about this later. This is not what you think it is. This is nothing bad for me.
Well, it's the first time I haven't seen Chris drinking at a show in a long while.
Oh, okay, that's that, okay. So last week, where we did the show, and Brian normally doesn't drink. Brian.
Now we know why.
I'm drinking.
Brian. Brian had whiskey one day, and it was a disaster during a show. And I think, did you actually ban him from ever drinking while the show was in your?
I banned him from drinking at my house, but that was, I mean, after a couple of weeks, it was forgotten. He pretty much on his own banned himself. From doing it, but then he drank a couple times in my house after that. After the time that he pissed his pants at my house, that he was never, never again was there an issue.
I splashed a little when I was in the bathroom.
Well, this week Brian drank again. Brian started drinking vodka at about 11:30. And, fast forward, you know, we hung out. Bricks came down to cook for us, and we hung out for a little while. So, I guess, you know, it was good maybe 4 or 5 at night when we finally left, and, fast forward to me getting in the car and Chris saying,
Oh boy.
I want to fire that obnoxious mother effer.
I don't think I said
and
mother
then smash
effer.
Him in the face.
For those that don't know what we're talking about, it was this past Sunday's Best in Show, the last Sunday of Best in Show before Thursday takes over on Sundays. We had our buddy Bricks Avalon here. He was cooking for the show, and we had a good time, including lots of drinks that Brian definitely took part in. And Brian, as of late, has taken on an interesting habit, I think, of just trying to F with me personally throughout a show is something that I've picked up on. And I found it aggravating, but that's fine. It's if it's funny for the show, and most of the time it is, I think it's great. When the mics are off 3 hours after the show and you're consistently trying to F with me, I want to smash you.
You're absolutely right. I did go out of my way to be personally annoying to you, and I'm sorry. I thought you were laughing with me, not at me. or vice versa.
I
thought you were.
I don't recall the
last.
I don't recall the last time I've laughed with you ever.
I thought you were in for the ride. Apparently, I was just riding on you the whole time.
No, it was fine. It's fine. I have no. It's not even a problem about that. Everything was fine with that. You were just being a ball breaker, and I just thought the end when we did our after show, because we did an after show, which actually we haven't posted yet. We'll probably never post because it's unlistenable, because Brian is insane, because drunken Brian just. Well, the whole point was we had our buddy Bricks here. He cooked for us, and then we had a meal. The after show was while we actually ate the meal. And if you try and listen to it, all you're going to hear is Brian, no matter what is being put in front of him, "Oh, my God, this is the best napkin that a fork has ever been on next to a plate before you're eating. Oh, this is great." And don't get me wrong. My buddy Bricks did a great job and put on a nice spread
for
us.
Was I wrong?
It the nap like dude every oh if you put some this with sauce it was the ground this was the great thing ever it was unlistenably irritatingly annoying but that's fine you know it was great but
that's gonna be the name of my show
what's that
unlistenably irritatingly annoying
yeah it was just awful it was just painful and on the way home maybe when I was a little bit liquor fueled. I suggested we got to really fire this guy.
Well, what took it over the edge? What act? What did he say or do that took it to that level?
There's no one thing. There's no one thing.
The culmination.
Stuff on the show is fine. Like I think it's hilarious that Brian consistently likes to point out that if I start talking, that he has to mumble under his breath. Oh, it's the Chris show. I forgot. Like stuff like that.
One point that happened off mic that I remember specifically is I was actually annoying Keith for a little while. And I was squeaking my sneakers on the floor because it started, like, squeaking. I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. And I started squeaking it a little more. And Keith did the right thing and ignored me. Chris Cole came over and told me to stop, which is like a wind-up toy for me. It's like, oh, stop? So I ran over to Chris.
Actually, Chris came over and said, dude, why would you want to scuff someone's wood floor with your sneakers over and over again? Like, it's not your house. Why would you do this? That's all it was. It wasn't the noise. I couldn't have cared less about the noise. Yep. I was like, dude, you're kicking a dude's floor over and over again. A guy who's kind enough to let us come do the show at his house week in and week out. Like, why would you just...
And it's clearly he got his floors done recently. Like, our first show, like, you could still smell the floor.
I wasn't scuffing the floors. I was annoying Chris. That's what I was doing.
I swear on my life, I was not annoyed by the squeak. The squeak made...
You were just annoyed that I was doing it.
I was equally as annoyed as you for scuffing up the dude's floor as well.
But that was, dude, if you did that at my house, I would have had an issue with it. And I'm sure that if he was here when it happened, I think he would have had an issue with it.
You're not a homeowner, Bri.
Would you call me?
You're not a homeowner.
That's all. But that was that one thing, fine, that irritated me. For some reason, you wanted to get into a fight with me about at the end of the show when the mics went off, when I was walking out to go get a beer, that I wanted the show to go on longer, and you got all crazy with that, to the point that Rob was actually going to smack both of us because we were raising our voices. It was great. It's exciting. We're bitches. We're bitches who fight with each other. It's bestinshowbestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Well, there still is a little bit of tension here because ever since I came in today, the room has been very, I don't know,
very
morose.
Very tense. There's no tension with that. There's no tension with anything. I would like to officially say, Keith, that conversation we had in the car, don't bring it up next time. No, I do not want Brian to be fired from the show. I think Brian is fine for the show. I really like to not hang out with Brian when he's sober. I like to not hang out with him when he's not.
My ride home, I drove Brian home when you guys drove home. And it's so funny that Keith brings this up because Brian was saying, I can't believe I got to come here. I got to travel. I travel more than I'm actually on the air. And I was like, Brian, you know, if you're not having a good time, are you having a good time? He's like, no, I'm not really. Sometimes, but not really. I'm like, Brian, if you're not having a good time, why don't you, just quit or come a couple of times a month? He's like, no, I'm not quitting. I made a commitment. He's like, the only way I'm going to quit is if Chris fires me. I swear to God, you said that. The only way I'm going to quit is if Chris fires me. And you guys are having the same exact conversation.
It's weird. I meant everything I said a few minutes ago. That I don't want to fire Brian by any means. But if you need to take a sabbatical, bro, it's cool with me. It's totally cool. I have no issues. I want you to have Brian time if you need it. There's no problem.
I guess that was my biggest irritation about that weekend is there was no Brian time. Like, not just the radio.
Oh, we did, like, three shows inside of 6 days?
That, and, like, I had all kinds of commitments that I had to do at home. There was just no time for Brian to sit at home and do nothing. And that's, like, that's what I love to do best.
Welcome to my life.
Ugh.
Welcome to my... I don't remember the last time I got to sit at my house and do nothing. It's... Hey, man, seriously... Quit. Just quit the show. It's cool.
It's not going to happen. You're going to have to fire me.
Now, if by the way, Barbara, a girl is pointing out in the Pal Talk room, there's no Brian time. Oh, my God, what a woman. So, and
true.
I agree with
it's
that.
It's true. I
agree.
I know.
Now, Pri, if Chris came today and really did fire you, would you have accepted the offer, or would you have raged against the machine, as Chris likes to say?
I'd try to make it as entertaining radio-wise as I could, but yeah, I'd probably not... I'd be done. It's the Chris's show.
Ugh, I hate hearing that. But before I let it go past, and I'll respond to that in a second. It's being thrown about, bandied about in the Pal Talk group about the idea of doing Radio Survivor or Temptation Island Radio, where Germ Freak joins Best in Show and Keith joins the DJ New Style show. Interesting.
What is Temptation Island?
Temptation Island, where the guys and the girls go and get to date other people,
oh,
and be with other
okay,
things.
Okay,
so like
okay.
You'd be with other shows. Hey, who knows?
I'll tell you, when I first heard about this whole story, I was like, wow. At first, I was kind of excited Brian was going to get fired for some reason. And then I was like, I thought about it. And
his
Brian,
kids, he wouldn't be able to pay for food for his kids anymore.
Brian can't be fired. Brian and you have the best relationship, Chris. I mean, you guys have a very good relationship, an on-air relationship that I don't think we could lose.
It's an amazing thing because even off air, before we did a show together, like I would talk to Brian every day, like and hang out. As much as he was saying before, like he doesn't have friends, or he doesn't foster relations. Like me and him would talk like on a daily basis, just about nonsense on a daily. Since we're on a show together, I can't stand him.
The only way that I know you two guys, Brian and Chris, is through the show, and I could think that like
what are you talking about? I've known you for 15 years.
I know. I know your relationship. I know Chris and Brian's relationship of just being on the show and the way you guys act. It's like you guys banged each other's sister. Like, that's, like, the way you guys act at each other. Like, you guys have this attention.
Bro, she's 11 years old, dude. She's 11.
If you had this, you know.
She's seen a couple people, though. She's not monogamous, so you're in.
What I'm trying to say is the way you guys act on the radio show, I would never believe in a million years you were friends before this radio show, Brian and Chris.
It's amazing.
The way you guys act.
It's amazing.
Would you think? Do you agree, Keith, or disagree?
Well, you know what? My memory of their friendship is now clouded by this madness over the last 2 years.
Is it really? Like, you can't even remember them being friends?
As Chris was talking, I was trying to think back to, you know, the three of us hanging out in the past, like maybe, you know, 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, even longer, about 6 years ago. And
more than that, yes, because it was before my daughter was even a thought. It was a long time ago.
It's like episode one.
Right. So, and I'm thinking back, and I'm trying to remember their interaction, but all I keep thinking is I'm remembering us watching like Twin Peaks and Brian saying to him, "Oh, it's the Chris show." It's just modern day is just creeping in.
That's just how we relate now. It's kind of like watching alligators mate. You
but
know
it's very
I mean?
Unhealthy. It's not very healthy.
It makes me insane to be regularly told, it's the Chris show. I forgot it's the Chris show. Like. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that if we're talking on the show about something, I felt I might have something to add that I should hold back because it's not my show, per se. That's whatever.
Don't hold back, Chris.
No, I want to talk a little bit more about this. I do. Me. Chris. Here on Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com. The star, Chris. Here I am. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call in 877-744-6405. I don't know. A bunch of stuff. Whatever. I think it's great. I think my relationship with Brian is outstanding. I've never had any sort of issues with him other than when he's... And you know what? It's not even just on the show. Because when we went to the Sems Memorial a few months back, he got drunk then too, and I just didn't want to be near him. I can't stand drunk Brian. I like sober Brian.
You are not alone. You are not alone. Very few people can stand... I can't stand drunk Brian.
Brian, do you...
Kill him. Just kill him. And I'm not suggesting... I'm not suggesting suicide. Just don't drink.
Just stop drinking, yeah. That would be healthy.
Learn some sort of self-control with your life. Get the drinking out. Get the madness out. Do what you can to clean up your life.
Bri, do you feel like you're skating on thin ice now that this like whole firing thing just came out?
No, I mean that's been a persistent sort of thought since when was my first episode? My first appearance? Even before I ever stepped foot on the show, I always knew I was going to be fired. So Nothing's changed.
And now that Brian has more of an on-air personality and less technical stuff, are really in for a treat.
Can I just point out, this whole thing started, and again, we're giving like a history lesson here for some reason on Best in Show. By the way, just I don't want people to think that I'm missing the comments in the chat room. It's being pointed out. Chris is not the star of the show. Rob Giggs is. You know, things like that. Keith has such a beautiful voice. You know, just lots of crazy things going on in these chat rooms here.
Thanks, Brian, but you could have just told me. You didn't have to type that in the room.
But, I don't know. I quit. I quit everything in the entire world.
Is this the first time in the history of the show you're speechless, Chris?
No, you know what it was? I got distracted and totally forgot what I was saying. I'm trying to remember my train of thought.
What would happen to the Chris show if he stops talking?
We were talking about Brian's on Thin Ice.
Oh, that's right. I was giving the history lesson, the Best in Show history lesson. Back in the olden days, when Brian signed on as our producer, because for those that don't know, Keith and I have been doing this show since 2003, I think, at this point. And when Brian first joined on the show, he was coming on as a producer to do the tech job. And then when he couldn't do it very well, we thank God got Rob Giggs in, and actually everything works now. But when Brian joined onto the show, he said, "Hey, you know, I don't even need a mic. I'm not going to talk. I just want to I'm going to be the tech guy." And Brian cannot shut up for a show, no matter what. Like for 30 seconds, he can't shut up on a show. He's much like me. But you know, and it's but I
but it's
I,
not his show; it's your show.
obviously. But I make no bones about it. I'm not going to front and claim, no. I don't want to talk. The whole point of why I'm doing Best in Show is because I love the sound of my own stupid voice. I want to hear myself. A guy with his fake modesty saying, no, I'm not going to talk on air. Hey, how's it sound? Do I sound good? I mean, not that I'm going to use it, but I sound good. Check. This is me, Brian.
I was afraid to talk.
Yeah, you lost that fear about 30 seconds into your first show.
Hey guys, if you heard me say this, would you think I was handsome while I was doing this tech work?
But now I feel like Brian thinks he's the Ringo Starr, like of the Beatles. Like he thinks he's not wanted now. Brian, you are wanted here, my friend. Don't let Chris's
Ringo is wanted.
Well, at a point.
He's not the George Best. He's at least the Ringo. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Here.
Oh, Pete Best, sorry.
Here, Studio Steve really wants you to hang out.
I'd want to say to you, Brian, you are an amazing friend, and I hope you don't leave the show.
I have a friend. Look at that.
You didn't mean that at all.
No. I mean it. Brian. Brian, you are the man. Please don't leave. Stay. I'm talking to you. Come on.
That was very... I really thought that was going someplace. I didn't realize that you just wanted to play Tears for Fears for some reason.
I think it just went on accidentally, so he tried to make it
Rob
into something.
Rob pimped me out.
What I heard from that was these are the things that he can do without.
Well, that's... I kind of agree. And again, you're loved by someone in the world, I'm sure, and you're not hated on this show. So please, by all means, feel free to keep making that trip. Although I want to point out, it's really a long trip. And your mic time versus travel time, I don't know if that ratio would work for me.
Chris.
But yeah, what's up?
I got to interrupt.
What's up, Fred, the most important person on the show?
Be honest with me, Chris. What was Keith's reaction when you said, I want to fire Brian, I want to smash his face, he's bad for the radio, he thinks he has a nice penis, he gets into book fights, he has two throats.
No, see, that stuff would have been great. I have no problem with his throats or his book fights. That's good stuff.
What was Keith's reaction? Was there a glimmer in his eye, like me finding out Keith was leaving?
Finding out.
Still, you son of a bitch.
I want to say that in the car, he seemed to be taken aback by it. He's like, really?
He gave you one of these?
Ooh. Yeah. Oh no!
He put his face. He
actually said, "Perish the thought! Heavens to Megatroid!" No, he was taken aback by it. I was like, "Really? Fire him? Like, I mean, I understand he probably shouldn't drink on the air ever again, but fire him, really?" And then I dropped him off at home, and then I got on Instant Messenger when I got home, and he's like, "Yeah, man, you know what? I've been thinking about what you said. Maybe it's not such a bad idea."
Then Keith calls me up, and he's like, "Giggs, we need an emergency board meeting now about Brian's firing."
We need someone to pick up the slack on this.
Oh, so all three of you guys talked about it? You conference each other? No. Oh, that would have been great.
It was jokes. We're doing a talk radio program here. Fake stuff. We lie consistently as much as we can here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com. Here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. If you want to be a part of the program, you can by calling 877-744-6405. Or get us on the instant messenger. I'm at Best in Show Chris. He's at Best in Show Keith. I don't know. Oh, Best in Show Brian is on as well. It's very exciting stuff. Or just get us in the chat rooms. We pay attention. It's good.
Giggs, what was your thoughts when you first heard about this whole firing thing?
Did you even hear about the firing thing? For real?
No.
Okay.
Oh, you're just hearing about it right now for the first time?
He's like a listener right now. He had no clue. He had no idea that the show that he produces every week was disintegrating without him knowing about it.
So Keith was going to go with you. If you went with that decision, Chris, Keith was backing you up and Brian was gone.
I don't know. It never got that serious. It was never that serious. I had some drinks and I was pissed off like an hour after Brian was being a douche. So that's all it was. You know, I didn't continue that that train after that.
All right. Glad to see you back, Brian.
Thank you. It's great to see you.
Back. Now that you're back on the show, we're really pleased that you're here. I'm glad you could make it.
That was a good break.
Sure. Well, Brian, you get 5 minutes later to have some Brian time.
All right.
I do.
But you got to narrate it for us.
I do.
That's not Brian time.
You know what I did remember? You know what I did remember? One of the thoughts for of appropriate punishment for Brian instead of firing him was, after the display he put on, make him travel here to the show tonight and never let him crack his mic and not let him be on air tonight. Just make him come to it. And that would have made him quit.
On my way in here, I noticed I didn't see any cars that I usually see parked in the usual places. And I was wondering, did I get the right day? And there was like a little sort of fantasy in my head that I'd walk in and like no one would be here and, you know, the studio had changed and you just, you know, quote, forgot to tell Brian where it is.
Whoops.
Well, that's funny because me and Keith had an idea that we were going to come like 10, 15 minutes late, so it just had to be Brian and Chris on the air for the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, we were going to sit outside for like 15 minutes and just have the show start out with I really desperately wanted to try to convince Rob to do it, too. Like, to convince Rob to say, hey, you know what? I got to run out a second. I'll be right back. And then just have them be forced to start the show together.
Now you just hate the show. I mean, that's just, now you're just killing the show.
And then it was another one where I was gonna unplug the computer that broadcasts it every week for like a month.
And
then burn all your houses down.
Oh, that would be so funny. Funny joke. But, no, again,
you harbor no resentment.
After the fact, now, you know, removed from it. Again, understand, I had some alcohol in me, too. Granted, I hadn't had any when he was being insane. I had some to medicate and hide from the insanity at that point because I just didn't want to address it. But it was fine. I was pissed off because I was drunk.
And I did as well. And I think that's why the next day, in my head, it was kind of like, well, you know, I mean, the next day I was sober, but in my head it was kind of like I didn't have a clear memory, so it was kind of like, I called Fred and I was like, yeah, I think Chris wants to fire Brian. Like, and that's what Fred went.
If you're only on the phone with him, you don't have to whisper. You can actually talk to him and no one else will hear.
Yeah, here's a tip. If you ever want to tell something secret, don't tell it to Fred. All right? That's just a tip if you haven't figured that one out yet.
But that's funny. Like, how much of a pass do you give a drunken friend? Like, what's like over the top? Like, what would Brian had to have done, Chris, to you to drunk to you take a swing at him? Like, would he have had to like physically
take a swing at me?
Oh, take a swing at you.
Take a swing at me or take a swing at someone I love.
Okay.
You know what? Not necessarily a swing. Anything, any sort of violation to my kid. He wouldn't have to swing at my kid. But again, obviously it's not something that would happen. But I'm saying that's the only thing that could make me attack him. No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a jerk. I'm not a jerk. I'm not just going to start
fighting.
What
if you took her favorite toys home and sold them on eBay?
They make a lot of annoying noise in the house, because then I might be with
you. She's got some really cool toys.
No, how would that happen? That's like, these aren't even reasonable, these are ridiculous things.
What if he smashed your Dan Marino helmet, signed autographed helmet in the glass case while he was drunk?
He accidentally knocked into it and broke it.
Accidentally?
No.
He's saying maliciously.
He didn't intend on smashing it, but he was like playing around like, I'm going to break this, and you were saying, no, Chris is getting mad at something Brian didn't even do right now.
And it's totally something I would do.
I think that's why he's getting mad.
I don't know that I would physically strike someone for damaging property like that. I might. Just not because the property got damaged, because whatever, I could buy another one. It's the idea that he would be maliciously doing it to F with me. That might be the reason why I would. Because he'd be doing it just to get under my skin, and that would get me insane. That's fine.
This conversation's giving me agita.
Oh, yeah. You know what you got to do to get rid of that agita? You know what you got to do to get rid of it? Clean out your body. cleanse yourself. Remove all the poisons from your life like I have.
Really? Well, how am I going to do that?
Well, you should just do what I do. Hang out and just chill. No, for those of you that don't know what I've been reading, and I guess that would be none of you, no one would know what I was reading. I've been reading The Master Cleanser by Stanley Burroughs for the past couple of weeks, trying to gear myself up and get ready for a master cleanse.
I love that book, Naked Lunch.
I know, it's awesome. That's my favorite thing he did.
How weird would it be if I just like told you what you were reading?
What do you mean?
If that, like, hey, nobody knows what I'm reading, and I just like rambled off. Yes, I do. You've been reading The Master Cleanser by.
I would feel like you were like, what's the name of that? Isn't it like a show on TV with a guy who does that?
The Mentalist.
The Mentalist. I would think you were the Mentalist. And antisocial.
Psychopath.
I think you were the antisocialist.
Brian would be the Chris Whisperer.
Yeah. Yeah, so
don't tell me you're doing this Master Cleanse.
As I was pointing out earlier, this big vat that's next to me here that I'm drinking is not, for a change, vodka mixed with some sort of juice.
Oh, look at that cayenne pepper.
It's actually a lemon with purified water, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper. And this is what I am drinking and have been drinking for the past 48 hours now and not eating.
No wonder why you're in a bad mood.
I'm definitely more irritable than usual. Gigs can attest to it. I sent out like nasty emails like seconds after he said, hey man, what's up? Like, what do you mean what's up, you son of a bitch? I know what's up. You don't have to tell me. Yeah, I'm definitely cranky. I'm a little bit better now, believe it or not. This is better. I'm a little less on edge. I'm kind of getting used to not eating. But it kind of sucks. It kind of sucks right now.
You've just described heartburn in a bottle, basically.
Well, actually, I haven't. If you were to buy in to what Stanley Burroughs says in this book, and the thing about it is, the saline that lines your digestive tract clings to the meats and foods that you're putting on there. Even though citrus and cayenne pepper would scare you with something that burns through, because your digestive tract is going to be covered with saline the entire way, the stuff is going to slide right by. It's going to be fine. It cures ulcers, apparently. It cures cancer. It cures everything. If I had AIDS, I'd smear this all over my face and I'd be fine.
How long do you have to drink this pissy-looking substance?
I'm supposed to not eat for 10 days and do nothing but drink this for the next 10 days.
Oh
boy.
Just shake it around a little bit. Oh, my God. 10 days?
10 days of not eating. By the way, just so we know, it's in the Pal Talk room. DJ Newstyle is screaming, that's it, that's it. Chris has lost it. Barbara Girl is pointing out that there needs to be an intervention show. and my executive producer, lover and friend, Rob Giggs, says, okay, let's bet on how long Chris is going to last.
Oh, it's lukewarm. It smells awful.
You
it's
can't
really
last 10 days without eating anything.
I didn't think I was going to last one day, to be honest. I was going in trying, seeing how far I was going to be able to take it.
Holy and 48 about, hours is pretty
and
good, man.
And about 3 hours ago, before I came to the show here tonight, I was damn close to just ripping apart my kitchen. And luckily, the gentleman who lives downstairs, a buddy who's been on the air with us before, a buddy Vito, actually came upstairs to actually ask me a question about something. And I was like, yeah, dude, just so you know, like, I haven't eaten in 48 hours. I'm kind of weak. I'm kind of dizzy. I'm kind of hating my life. And I was considering actually going to eat right now and just finally just breaking it and eating it. And he's like, oh, and just talking to him got me thinking, you know, everything was fine. And then he handed me, you know, just like broke my train of thought for a second. And then he handed me a magazine for my wife and two pictures that he had found. And the pictures were of me from about 8 to 10 years ago. And in these pictures from 8 to 10 years ago, I'm even fatter than I am today. I was like 300 pounds. And the reason for my cleanse is not to lose weight. Let me point that out. I'm trying to just clean myself out and get the crap out of my body, the toxins that have built up or whatever. And just seeing this big fat Chris in this picture just easily told me, screw that. I don't need food. What the hell do I need food for? I've got maple syrup and lemon. I've got all the vitamins and nutrients I need right here with my cayenne pepper.
What toxins are you getting rid of out of your body? The beer that you're just going to ingest in 10 days from now? the corn products that you've been eating?
By the way, the day that I did this, the first night that I started, I finished my beer and then started making the Master Cleanse for the last time. I was ready to go. By the way, it's being someone who doesn't know how to use the forum is trying to get the nickname Food and say, Chris, I miss you, in the chat room.
So what are you trying to get out of your system that you're not just going to put back in your system after this cleanse is done?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe like meats that have been rotting in my intestines for years. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You've only been vegetarian for what, 6 months?
A year.
Next
month is a year that I've been a vegetarian. And I'm not really a vegetarian. I eat fish, which I think, you know what it was, man? Bricks being here and actually eating vegan got me kind of excited to maybe try and go vegan.
Huh. And if you lose weight, that's just a plus. And how much weight are you expected to lose in 10 days, Chris? Do they tell you, like, if you do this for 10 days, you're going to lose 15 pounds, 20 pounds, like how many?
It's not a matter of pounds. I don't know. I think they say 2 pounds a day, which, by the way, I lost 4 pounds yesterday. I don't know what I lost today.
Wow.
But, he's
going to lose 10 pounds and 15 friends.
Oh, I lost those words. Well, you want to talk about things that could make you lose friends about this whole thing. I'm going to do a little interesting thought here. For people that have been to XM Studios before, this is for you. So today, I guess as a result of this diet, or as a result of this, my bathroom habits have changed quite a bit. And as a result, I'm going to the bathroom 2 and 3 times a day now, instead of just one or maybe two on occasion, like 2 to 3 times every day. And it's always liquid. And it's always a horrible, horrible liquid that comes out, which is all the bad stuff that's coming out of me, that's happening. So today, as I'm at one of my jobs, at a bathroom at a particular building that's especially clean, that's one of the bathrooms I love, I get in the bathroom and I'm taking a crap, and I'm starting to clean up, and I smell... Oh, my God. This bathroom stinks just like the XM Studios bathroom in New York City.
Oh, someone barred up a dead hooker in the walls? Is that what you're saying?
So for those that don't know what I'm talking about, for those of you who have not been there, the XM Studios bathroom stinks like rotting fish. And there's no other explanation for it other than it's rotting fish is what it smells like. And I think we actually talked about it on the next show after. I mean, for those that don't know, we were actually on the original Night of 100 podcast back in February. And the next show that we did, like, you know, podcast show that we did after that, we talked about that we were blown away by the fish smell of the bathroom, whatever. And this smell just knocked me out. Today, that same smell hits me while I'm in the bathroom. Like, holy crap.
But different bathroom.
This is my favorite bathroom that I love. I can't even believe, like, it's, you know, and I know it's ridiculous to say my favorite bathroom that I love, but for a guy that's in the field, things like bathrooms that you like to use are things that you remember.
But it's never smelled like this before?
This bathroom never smelled like this
Are you thinking maybe it came from you?
No, I'm not thinking. So then I say...
You're knowing.
Is it possible... So I use a little paper, I wipe my tender bottom, and I waft up a little bit towards my face.
That's quite.
And I am quite convinced now, my friends, that the cause for the XM Studios bathroom stinking like fish is the fact that someone there was master cleansing at the time. Brian just ran away. I think he might be vomiting right now. My liquid, green, awful... terrible feces that are coming out of my body stink like fish. Like fish! I'm appalled at myself. Remember when we thought you knew the grossest thing about me ever? Well, now there's a new one. Now we know.
Now, were you scared of other people coming into the bathroom after you?
No, I don't
being
care.
Like, hey, what's with the fish smell?
No, I don't care. No, I flushed and it was gone.
So you're eating now, is what you're saying. You're eating food. You're done with this.
No, he's not eating food. He's still going. He's going strong.
What is the bits at the bottom?
Cayenne pepper.
By the way, Pristine Sneakers is pointing out in the Palto room, he's got to get a hold of this cleansing stuff and go to every public bathroom he can and take a shit. That's what he has to do. On the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show, who's this?
This is DJ New Style.
Hey, my friend, how are you?
I heard I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than your anus is right now.
No, it's
your stomach and pretty much everything else about your insides.
I'm trying to be informative. I'm trying to learn people something. I want to let you know about cleaning yourself and making things better. You know, here's my mindset.
Chris is menstruating.
Here's my mindset here. This awful smell is coming out of me because of what I'm cleaning out of me. If my body can produce this, it has to be gone. I have to do this until that smell goes away.
So you did the Night of 100 podcast in February, and that's when you smelled the bathroom, right?
Yes, yes, yes. You and you obviously yourself were you know, Radio Bronze from Night of 101 podcast. You obviously know this bathroom and its fishy scent.
I think he was actually there earlier than that.
No, we were there. I was never there. The first time I was there was the Night of 101 podcast, which was a few months after you. So if somebody's been doing this master cleanse for several months, then you're absolutely right that the fish market smell, that tuna water Ajax and chalky smell, that could be from that. But the thing is, you're only supposed to do that for 10 days or however long you just said.
True,
so there's
true.
No way it's that.
Okay, well, maybe it's a chronic problem that someone else has. I'm telling you, I've never been fish ass before. I am now officially fish ass. I am tuna ass at this point. And it's boggling my mind. And
it's not the stuff that you're cleaning out of your body. It's the stuff that you're putting into it. It's this thing that your body...
Lemon and maple syrup and cayenne, you think somehow could be processed to smell
like
fish?
If you eat broccoli, it doesn't necessarily smell precisely like broccoli when you poop it out. Your body is doing stuff to it, and the waste product that's being developed from that is clearly a result of what you're flooding into your body.
I don't agree. I disagree. Yes, sir.
I just want to know, when did you lose your mind? You think about it. You scrape off some nacho chips and squeeze a lemon slice and maybe wring out a pancake into a bottle, and you think that's a meal. Those three ingredients are not going to keep you alive.
I don't think it's a meal. I think it has the vital the vitamins and nutrients and minerals that I need to get me through for the next couple of weeks.
What is in that again?
Maple syrup, lemon, cayenne pepper, and water.
The four food groups.
Maple syrup is not going to provide the vitamins and minerals to get you through the day.
It's vitamin S, vitamin sugar.
It's a whole sugar. It's a natural sugar.
Oh.
It's delightful.
Oh, well, you know, it's some ass in a park and it rings it out of a maple tree. it's got to be good then. It's got to be. Mrs. Butterworth and the makers of Real Lemon really are working together to get whatever chemical.
I just want to point out we're using pure maple syrup is what we're using. We're not talking about Mrs. Butterworth. We're not talking about Log Cabin. We're not talking about what's the other girl's name? I don't know, the other...
Aunt Jemima.
We're not talking about any of that. It's pure maple syrup that you probably wouldn't even like on your pancakes. It doesn't even taste good to maple syrup. For the record, if any of you want to try the taste of this, just, you know, to enjoy yourself, this may be the worst tasting drink in the world. And I want to point out, Barbara's pointing out in the Pal Talk room, it's quite a manly diet. Beyonce just used it before filming Dreamgirls, so obviously it's manly.
So next Thursday will be day 9 of this... Master Cleanser, Chris?
Yeah, I don't foresee me not being eating by next
It'll
Thursday.
It'll be day 5 of having broke it.
you're giving me a lot more credit than I think. I'm telling you, I said it when I walked in here tonight. I was talking to Giggs as soon as I walked in. I said, I can easily see myself stopping at Wendy's by the end of this tonight. I can see myself going away. I can see myself going off the deep end, not only stopping not eating, actually eating meat. Like, just getting a Baconator to get myself back into things, you know?
Don't you miss... solid dumps, though. Don't you miss that?
Oh, yes, no. I'm not going to suggest that this is a pleasurable experience in any extent. I miss eating. It's not so much that I'm hungry, it's that I like to eat food. And
Did it ever occur to you that the reason people think this is a rousing success and they feel so much better, it's because when they're done, they're actually eating again after having not done it for about a week?
It's like slamming your head against a brick wall. It feels really good when you stop.
Exactly.
I think it's a great idea.
That's actually in the appendix of the master plan. I don't know if you've gotten that far.
It's almost 28 pages in this book. I couldn't get to that part. I actually went to the recipe section and said, "All right, let's go." Yeah, it was crazy too. The way it happened, like I said, I was laying on my couch drinking a beer, reading it, and at 11:15 at night, I just got up. I chugged the rest of my beer and looked at my wife and said, all right, I got to go to the store and buy lemons. She's like, what the hell are you talking about? It's 11:15 at night. Where are you going to buy lemons? I'm like, I'm starting my cleanse tomorrow. By the way, the other thing that you do, did I forget to mention, is you drink laxative tea every night and morning to make sure that your body keeps things moving along.
I wonder why you're going number 3.
I can only imagine the crisp remnants that have just been stowed away in your intestines from all those days of you eating the meat enormous breakfast sandwich at Burger King and all those things from 6 years ago when you couldn't live without meat.
I know that there's a bologna sandwich that I had in second grade someplace between my large intestine and my colon right now. And I want to get it out. I just want it out because I'm starving.
Yeah.
I'm starving.
What's the next diet after this? Are you going to do something crazy like the Atkins or South Beach?
No, because I'm not doing it to lose weight. I'm doing it to clean myself out. I'm doing it like I feel like I just want things to be gone from me. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, being a big, you know, fat bastard that I am, the weight loss would be it's a nice side effect that I would like. But that's not the intent. That's not the intent of this. The intent is to clean.
I had a friend of mine do the same thing, and he actually lasted quite some time. I've had several friends go through this process and stretch it out for like a month, like just ridiculously.
They say you can
long.
Go up to 40 days on this, which I could not imagine going 40 days on this. I can't imagine going 4.
Yeah.
I can't imagine myself getting past tonight.
I just stumbled.
There's a Taco Bell around the corner from here.
I just stumbled on a website, and this girl basically wrote a journal for each day. And it's just getting crazier and crazier as each day goes along.
What's the last?
You're going to tell me that day 3 is worse than day 2?
Apparently, it's getting more and more intense as it goes on.
Wait, so by day 10, it's like every day that it doesn't level off. There's no plateau.
Day 8, she murdered a nun.
Well, all right. So then she was right thinking.
The friend of mine who lasted maybe like 2 weeks or something like that said by day 3 or day 4. He got this overwhelming taste in his mouth that wouldn't go away. That wasn't necessarily the taste of the cleanser. It was like that sort of I've been chewing on aluminum foil kind of sick taste. Ooh. You know, like when you're sick and you just – I don't even know what kind of sick you get, if that's a flu or something. But I know exactly what he's describing.
Can I make a prediction for maybe 2 years from now on this show? If you guys are all around doing the show, I predict that Chris will have moved on through 12 diets that he – didn't stick with because there are 3 ingredients that don't go together, and you will have moved on to the peach nectar Bacos and sun-kissed raisin diet. That's what I think, just to purify himself.
Wait, does that actually work? If that works,
oh yeah, it does. I just read it in the book that I just wrote while Giggs was playing music on the wrong feed.
awesome. I think it's I like the idea. I like Bacos too. And they're vegetarian.
Bacos
too,
are delicious.
They're vegetarian.
Have a good night, everybody. And Chris, try not to pass out.
I'm gonna do what I can. I'm gonna do what I can, buddy. Thanks so much for calling. DJ Newstyle, the DJ Newstyle Show, Tuesdays here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Apparently, the bathroom trips in the middle day start increasing to like 75 to 80.
Wow.
They're suggesting you don't. Sorry, you don't drink the. Is it a saline tea? Is that? Then I'm reading something wrong.
Oh, no. The saline tea is what you can't. If you don't want to take the laxative tea, you're supposed to take the saline tea in the morning.
I guess I don't know if it's either one, but apparently she suggested if you have to leave the house, like in the middle days, don't take that.
That's why I haven't done that yet. I want to wait till like a weekend when I know I'm home to do that. When I'm watching the Dolphins this week, that's what I'll be doing. I'll be putting salt in my ass. It'll be great.
So then we know Sunday morning the show will be called Keith.
No, it's fine. We'll get a wireless. We'll get a long microphone going to the other room.
So Keith and some disgusting noises behind him.
Fish scented. No, disgusting noises with a fish scent. I'm just saying that I think it's a... It's hard, man. I'm flip-flopping the whole time here. I'm flip-flopping constantly. As I'm thinking about this, I'm just saying, man...
No, go. You could do it, man. 10 days, it's nothing. Come on. Be a man. You could do it. You don't have to eat for 10 days. You've been eating for 34 years. Every day you've been eating for 34 years. You could take 10 days off with a little drink. I believe in you, man. Do it. Come on. Don't pussy out.
Was that him being real? Was he acting? Was that an acting thing? You know what?
No, that was an acting, because when he's acting, you believe it.
Okay, that's right. I honestly, I'm back and forth. I'm back and forth on this whole thing. The fact that drinking is going to be the hardest thing. Not having alcohol is going to be the hardest thing.
But you're going to be so drunk.
Oh, God. Ooh. I'll have one beer. I'll be wasted when I'm done. Like, tonight, the fact that Rob Giggs has pumpkin ales here is so tempting. I want a pumpkin ale so bad. I've been hearing such dynamic things about them.
I hate beer. I hate flavored ales. And I hate pumpkin. And for some reason, I want to drink that.
Sounds delicious. Could you taste it for me? Could you taste it for me and spit it on my face, but don't let it get in my mouth?
You want me to accidentally pour some in that big jug you got over there?
I would love it. I would. I really. It's tempting. I thought that like the show specifically was going to be the hardest thing to do it. I would just like a pumpkin ale. Just think about how delicious that thing would taste. I imagine as it washed over my tongue and over the back into my throat, it would be like beautiful music pouring out. Outrageous. I'm a man of my word. My word is bond.
You're a rabbit.
What's up, Donna? I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to sing during the theme anymore. Good evening, Vanessa.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Poop Talk.
Well, it's an intimate issue that I wanted to get into. I feel as without the music here, I mean, without me rapping at the beginning, it makes it a lot more serious. And the poop talk, maybe we can go past it and move into some sort of serious topics. No.
No. I don't think so. Well, I was sitting here twirling my hair and chewing on my fingernail today, thinking about Best in Show, when it occurred to me that I have a lot of nervous habits. Nervous habits are common, repetitive actions that we do to cope with stressful situations or when we are feeling some mild anxiety. And I've been extra stressed lately, so mine are all coming to the surface, causing me to wonder when a nervous habit becomes an actual compulsion. I know that Keith has talked a lot about his obsessive anxieties and fear of the number three, but there are a lot of little tics involving our bodies that are not positive, yet are common enough that they don't throw up red flags as quickly as their more developed and debilitating OCD cousins. Beyond drinking to excess to cope with the discomfort of being in our own bodies, I'm wondering how many other dumb behaviors we have as a radio family. So at the risk of being labeled a twitchy freak, here are mine. Hair twirling. In extreme situations, this has actually turned into hair pulling. In 1998, I pulled a piece of hair on the top of my head so long it developed a sort of scab, which leads me to the next nervous habit, skin picking and scratching. Once my hair pulling turned into an actual injury, I obsessively picked at that until I created a giant patch of baldness that took over a year to fully grow back in. I don't scratch at my skin as much as I used to, but if I find a little skin discrepancy, I tend to worry it bloody before I collapse in disgust over what I've done. Nail biting. Like 50% of everyone under the age of 18, I was a nail biter. I've mostly gotten away from this one, but it does overtake me still sometimes. And if I bite one nail on one finger, I can't stop until I've chewed the hell out of all of them. And tooth grinding. I've cracked two teeth from grinding them. So nervous habits often begin in childhood, but may continue into adulthood unless we find some more successful ways to deal with stress and anxiety. So like everything else in my life, I blame my parents for their inability to comfort me more effectively than pulling my hair out or scratching my skin off. So who's next? For Best in Show Anxiety News, I'm Vanessa Tewood.
I've got to believe that I'm stunned and dumbfounded, and Vanessa, I'm sorry for saying this. For the first time in the history of Best in Show, when you just described picking your skin and rubbing things bloody, you were unsexy on our show for the first time ever. That was the grossest thing I could imagine.
That was a risk. I was really putting it out there. It was much more risky than admitting to having been a stripper.
So that game House of the Dead with all the skeletons walking around, they're just really stressed out dudes, and they pulled all their hair and ripped all their skin off.
I'm trying to think if I have any nervous things like that. I don't think I don't do anything to myself like that that I can think of. I don't know.
I grind my teeth like crazy. I grind my teeth, and then I when I get really mad, I press down on my teeth. Like, my teeth could almost smash each other when I press down so hard.
Every time I do a ton of cocaine, I grind my teeth. But other than that, there's no other time. But I got nothing like that. I'm trying to think. I mean, I crack my knuckles. Oh. I pace when I talk on the phone and stuff like that. But that's nothing. Like, I don't hurt myself.
I'm a paperclip bender. Like, I work. For some reason, I grab paperclips and just keep bending them.
You know what I do to them? I unfold them completely, make as much of a straight line as you can, and then I make like an L, and then I spin it around like Mary Poppins with the umbrella.
Pen chewing? I'm a pen chewer, I guess.
No, I don't do that. That's gross.
Yeah, it definitely is gross. I'm not suggesting it, but I'm trying to find something that I damage myself with. The fact that she's rubbing her skin raw. The fact that she's...
Which, by the way, Deja disagrees with you. She thought it was hot.
Oh.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a matter of perspective. You know, bleeding...
I tend to bite my nails as well, but I actually keep the nails in my mouth and floss between my teeth with the nail to the point where like my gums become bloody from the nail. I guess that's very unsanitary, but that's a nervous habit of mine that I try to stop. Trying to stop to bite your nails is a hard habit to break, man. Vanessa, how did you stop? Or how did you cut down?
When I was when I was 19, I just said enough. It was my New Year's resolution the year I was 19, and I just quit. But
cold turkey.
Yeah, cold turkey. But I still get into the nail biting. I don't so much bite the nails off, but the nail biting will go into the skin picking thing. So I'll chew on my cuticles. Like if I find a little spot that is yeah. But I've had to give up like all of these because of what I do. Like I'm a massage therapist, so my hands have to be okay now. So I actually I just force myself not to do them.
Imagine,
it's really hard, though.
Imagine she has
but I'm still twirling my hair.
She has a client that's in there, and she just starts gnawing on her hand in the middle of it. No, no, I have another hand here. Don't worry about it. Everything's good.
I got something here. I got to get this off.
By the way, the idea of the patch for nail clipping, all I could think is having people have to wear catcher's mitts on either hand. That's the patch for nail biting.
Brian, you got one?
I've got all of them. What do you have? I am a friggin' mess. I mean,
he is antisocial.
The ones that she hit on every time she rolled over one, I do all of those to extreme. I chew my nails. I bite the sides of the nails down, and I peel the skin between the nails and the finger until it bleeds out the side. Ooh. And yes, I can't just do one nail. I have to do all of them, and it's like a daily thing, you know? So it's not like I even give them a chance to grow back. It's a wonder that I still have fingernails. It's a nightmare.
Do you play with your hair as well? I could see you being a big
constantly
hair player.
Constantly play with it. I'm always brushing my hair back like this. I take my headphones off and I do it constantly. I touch my face. I scratch my chin.
Can I interrupt for a second? I just want to point out, Brian, your hair looks gorgeous.
Thank
can
you.
I touch it?
Thank you.
Can I touch your hair?
No.
Oh.
Hey, Brian, before you go into topics, that's all you're doing. You're brushing your hair. You're getting all, like, worked up. He's like,
right now, I'm doing this right now and just because I'm talking about it, really. I mean, but this is really what I do all the time. I'm constantly...
You do the emo hair flip. That's what you're doing. You do the
awful
emo hair flip. That's being pointed out by Barbara.
Plus, I have all that schmutz in it, so it gets it on my hand, which now I have to go run to the bathroom and wash my hands. So now I'm doing OCD washing of the hands.
Pomade? Is that pomade that you got on your
hands? When I use pomade, I get it on my palms, and I eat pens. I don't chew on the pen caps. I eat them. Like, I'll chew and chew and chew and chew, and then I'll take it out, and half of it's gone. Like, I've digested the pen cap. And I've like, cracked my teeth on the metal part of the pen because I just am not, like, smart enough to stop. But perhaps the worst thing that I do is tapping. I am constantly tapping my leg, much to the chagrin of my girlfriend. When I'm on the couch, when I'm in bed, when I'm just sitting anywhere, I'm constantly tapping my leg. And she'll reach over in the movie theater, and she'll just, like, stop it.
I can understand that. My wife does that, and that's been cause for many a fight in my home, because as we're laying in bed, she'll be shaking her leg to lull herself to sleep. It's just like, dude, I sleep here too. I wasn't planning on getting on a vibrating bed right now. I can't stand that.
Well, talking about being on the other side of a nervous tic, you ever have the person that, like, a friend of yours, you walk up to him or her, and they wipe their face and almost blow their nose on their hand. Ooh. And then go up and, like, give you a handshake? You ever get, like, one of those?
I don't like to handshake very much, a lot of people. And there's just someone I know I'm not really a big fan of handshaking. Especially if you're blowing your snot on your hand first, I think.
Well, you know people that do that before they shake your hand? Like,
we know a guy that does that.
Is it, like, a natural reaction that they're about to shake your hand, so they do that?
Yeah. No, it's not a natural reaction. I think it's a nervous tic. Like, they wipe their face and almost wipe their nose with their hand, and, you know, then they'll go up and shake your hand.
But it's related to the handshaking?
I think it's just related to social activity. It doesn't have to be related to the handshaking.
This person is not in the chat room right now. I think it's your responsibility to tell us who this person is. And I think I know who he is, but I want to confirm.
I don't know. I don't want to call it.
Did he host any Labor Day events that we know of?
Okay. And did he shake Germ Freak's hand after?
No.
Yeah, it's.
I pull my sleeves up when I'm wearing long sleeves constantly. I do this all the time.
I have no idea.
And then like a second later, I'll pull it down.
I do that work all the time. And you know what?
Down, and I alternate.
And I alternate too. And I constantly end up like with one up and one down. And then I'll look and I'll be like, wait, why is this like this?
You pack it.
One of the more disturbing ones that is relatively new for me is now I'm constantly adjusting my crotch.
Oh.
try.
Oh, see, I do that constantly. I thought we were specifically talking about things where we're damaging ourselves or doing something crazy. Just scratching the nugs all day long without question.
It's not even scratching.
No, just moving, tickling, dancing. I've actually been asked, like, dude, why are you just playing with yourself while you're sitting here? And I think as a guy, you're just allowed to do that, no?
An MLB player can do that. Anybody else cannot do that.
I'm trying to let somebody know, fastball. I'm giving signs.
I get this feeling or this thought in my head that my pants are wrinkled up too much in the top and I have high waters or something. So I'll start pulling at the groin area to unwrinkle it and pull the rest of it down. And if I'm not satisfied enough about it, I'll stand up a little bit.
I was going to say, hold on, this?
And I'll stand up a little bit and like get it, yeah.
That's totally normal. And I think I'll there's nothing, that's normal.
For radio.
But that's, no, I understand. Come on, there's a video feed. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Airing it out.
Yeah, just letting the ventilation in.
Both of my hands with the two fingertips, I'm grabbing the crotch area and I'm pulling it down to straighten it out. And
laying it on someone's face and saying, look at this beautiful thing. Oh, wait, oh, that's not part of it?
I often pick my nose hair sometimes. I rip it out of my nose when I think it's getting too long.
That is freaking painful.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I'm telling you, I'm still more impressed by Vanessa's rubbing herself raw, not in a good way. I'm still more impressed by that than anything else.
Well, didn't Keith used to do that too?
Oh, I've damaged myself down there too.
No. No, you haven't. Seriously? Oh, she's not saying anything.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you get a little obsessive about something and
oh my God, what could you have done? What could you possibly have done to that sweet little thing? What
you
did
you overexerted it? You overexerted it, Vanessa? Like you did it a couple of times in one day?
Yeah, like a little sensitivity, a little skin sensitivity, a little chafing, maybe.
Did you take rubber bands and rub them up and down until they get all caught up?
Rubber bands?
What is wrong with you?
All right, I saw this sick movie one time, and it involved rubber bands and pubic hair.
By the way, I saw this sick movie one time translates into, I have this friend who, I know this guy at work. Yeah. You guys never met him.
I had a dream.
When did we give him a microphone?
Hey, I'm practicing for when Brian gets fired. Right, guys? Didn't you tell me to do that?
Right, that's exactly the way it works. You go from producer to mic, obviously.
To out the door.
The idea of damaging lady parts with some sort of nervous tick is...
You have a chafe down there? You did it maybe three or four times in a day? It gets a little chafing? No?
I don't think that's what we're talking about. Is that what we're talking about here, Vanessa? Or are you talking like like the rubbing, like you're like picking at things that's damaging it?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about fun activity.
Oh.
Oh, oh.
I totally...
Now my rubber band story seems really weird.
I'm totally, yeah, now it does. 2 minutes ago. Minutes ago it seemed totally normal as everyone's jaw dropped and looked at you. Now, I feel a lot better now. There's nothing wrong with overworking it, and that's fine. Those things happen. I thought like you somehow got obsessed with something, and I don't know. Say, hey, maybe if I yanked on this or pulled this or rubbed that the wrong way, I got scared.
Well, I did have a time when I'm not a very hairy person, and as you guys were talking about all your different shaving techniques to remove hair off your bodies, I have to take all the hair off my body all the time or else it will drive me insane. So at some point I was like, you know, all of these things suck, like shaving sucks and, you know, waxing hurts and it's all a pain. So what if I just plucked them all out with tweezers? So I was like, I'm not really very hairy. I think I could just pluck all the hair like under my arms and all the hair in other places out with tweezers. And I did it for like 3 weeks, and it occurred to me that that was going to be an obsession that...
You did it for 3 weeks, and for 2 days of those 3 weeks, you actually had time to do something else?
Yeah, I would have...
I just started to focus on it way too much, and it was like, I was like, okay, I need to go back to something else.
I would have done it for 3 hairs, and it would have been over after that, when the tears were running down my face from plucking 3 hairs out of my body.
Vanessa, if you could get electrolysis on one part of your body, what would it be?
Electrolysis, I would absolutely have the whole bikini area done, so I never had to think about it ever again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Me too.
What do you guys think about that, about the grooming parts on girls? Are you on that, like, take it all off, or does that seem weird to you?
No, there's nothing more beautiful than it in all of its crimson glory.
Its plumpness.
No,
if you slapped it a bunch of times.
Yeah, no, just the genitals themselves need no accoutrements. They need nothing around it. It needs to be clean.
Not even a landing strip? Nothing?
There? I'm not a fan of a landing strip, a Hitler mustache, none of that stuff. I'm not a fan at all.
A lightning bolt?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you were inventive with it and you did something nice, one of my favorite, I guess not quite porn stars, but softcore porn stars is this girl, Francine D. And Francine D actually has a cat tattooed right above her vagina. Anything like, and if there's some sort of decorative thing going on,
like a dollar sign dyed green,
or like word up, or a shamrock for St. Patrick's Day,
or true balls.
So you take it all off, Vanessa. You don't want to be.
Yeah. See, the problem was after the stripping time, which was kind of early in that whole, like, now it's real trendy and there's, you know, like, tons of normal women are getting Brazilian bikini waxes and, you know, that's normal. But it was something that only, like, you know, naughty girls who are up to some shenanigans did. But once you do it, like, you know, I spent years of having no hair down there. Like, there's just no way I can tolerate hair now.
Vanessa, can we be honest, though? You are one of those naughty girls that does things that doesn't like to be done. Let's be honest. Come on.
I know. It used to be kind of embarrassing when I went to the gynecologist because, like, you know that they're looking at you going, okay, what is she up to? You know, there's no hair down here. But now everybody has it.
She has no hair. She's a goer. That's exactly what they were thinking the entire time. My friend Joe used to tell me all the time that if a girl smoked, it means she did it.
Smoked, she pokes.
Yeah, that was always the way. No, but he didn't have the catchy phrase. It was like, oh, dude, she smokes cigarettes. You know what that means. She does it.
Her gynecologist waiting to see a dollar bill flop out of it. Just like that.
I love how any story about anything somehow still gets to something sort of filthy and awesome during Vanessa's calls. Outrageous. My nervous tick is I like shaved vaginas. That's my nervous tick. I hope that works out for me. Awesome. Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for your informative report, and
you're welcome.
And letting us know that you're an awful person that rubs your skin raw. I really, honestly, I can't get that out of my head. I'm totally screwed up thinking about you rubbing and drawing blood on yourself. That's rot.
No, I just made one bald spot one time. It took like a year.
It took a year to grow back too. That's crazy. A year.
Well, my hair was long, so I mean it was like on the top of my head too, so it like there was a time where it was like it was only 2 inches long and all the rest of my hair was much longer and
plus, she was tweezing.
Yeah, it took a long time.
Yeah, I shaved my eyebrows once. It took them maybe about 8 months to grow back fully.
I actually have a picture of you with your shaved eyebrows on the wall of my house.
Yeah, I look cracked out. You keep your eyebrows, man. You look crazy with that eyebrows.
I had no intention of ever losing them.
Good.
Although, who knows? The way my fads have been going lately, I hear that I can clean my body purely if I shave my eyebrows off. If you eat your own eyebrows, it'll remove all the toxins from your body. Rub your genitals raw and eat your own eyebrows.
I might lose like 5 pounds if you have. You seen my eyebrows? I got pretty thick, nasty
caterpillars
eyebrows
up there, bro.
I don't know about that. They look like. I think they're non-offensive. I'm not offended by your eyebrows.
He looks like Andy Rooney. What are you kidding me? Look at those eyebrows.
Stop it.
His eyebrows are crazy.
He looks like
No. I find you, despite what you think other people think about you, I find you to be one of the most hideously ugly people I've ever met in my life. But your eyebrows are attractive.
Oh, look at that.
Not to apologize to anyone outside of the New York area, not familiar with New York one, but he looks like George Whipple.
Wow.
I actually lost my eyebrow buzzer, so I can't trim mine now, so they're starting to get out of control.
You mean a buzzer that you particularly used for your eyebrows?
No, it's a tiny little buzzer for eyebrows.
It's specifically meant, they make something to shave eyebrows?
It's actually, well, really, it's for eyebrows and nose hairs, but that's kind of creepy to me.
Oh, I use a nose hair.
I have a separate one for that. This one is actually for both. For some reason, it just seems weird to like shove something up your nose and then start trimming your eyebrows on your face.
Definitely. Good call, Keith.
You know, they
it seems weird to use the same soap on your ass that you do on your face, but you don't have two different bars in your shower, do you?
I do, actually. I actually do. I have face soap and ass soap. I do.
And you're going to fire him, Chris? Come on. He's cold.
Come on. I stopped. I stopped with that. So you were saying, Brian, I'm sorry.
You're supposed to use, I don't think you're supposed to use that thing for your eyebrows, Keith. I mean, you're supposed to use it for, what I always thought was disgusting was they want you to use it on your nose and your ears, which I always thought was you shove something up your nose and then you're in your ears kind of, that's a little lick.
But I do it all the time. I use my nose hair clipper for my ears all the time.
I just braid my ear hair. I don't even bother cutting it.
Dread it.
Oh, awesome. I love hair. I love hair. I love removal of hair. I think it's so sexy. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Vanessa, as always, sexy, hairy, rubby report. And thanks for being American. For those of you that want to hang out with Vanessa, do it by going over to the Heroes Talk forum and just interacting with her. She's a real live girl. A real girl. And she'll hang out and talk to you as long as you're not too much of a creep. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Microphone is not on yet. No. Why is it when I'm in American studios, I'm always smelling beef? Oh. Hello, you fat capitalist pig, Shvinya Americans. This is Andrei Arlovsky, host of the DJ Arlovsky Show. Currently, you're enjoying Best in Show Radio on HearingUsToTalk.com. If you have nothing better to do on a Tuesday night and you need more audio for your ear holes, please check out the DJ Newstyle Show. Because otherwise you would miss something like this.
You know what? You know how it's hard for me to eat in restaurants in general because I know that, you know, forks are in people's mouths and I say to myself, well, it's just saliva. You know, you really can't get anything from saliva, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But what if there was, you know, what if people had more things in their mouth? You know? And I think to myself, and it's not properly cleaned, and now that's going to get in my mouth, and pretty soon I'm ingesting cum.
How did you make the leap from you eating cum to getting from getting a spotty fork?
Well,
and by the way, Rob Giggs is just thanking you completely because he's just isolated that clip. You'll be in his latest production piece.
But when you think about it, the fork that you had in your mouth could have been in somebody's mouth who had just ingested bodily fluids such as sperm. Does that bother you at all?
Well, they wash these things. And if I see a disgusting fork, I'm going to ask for a new one.
Okay. I understand. But what I'm saying is, just like there was food particles stuck on the fork, there could be cum residue stuck on the fork.
Why are people cumming on forks? How is this happening that people are just... I'll shoot this. This is a salad or dessert. Salad, good. Right on the f***ing prongs and put it back.
The DJ Newsdial Show is live on Tuesday nights from 9 to 11 p.m. on HearingUsToTalk.com or in the Pal Talk Room, Hear Us Talk Radio. The DJ Newsdial Show is proud to be a part of the Hear Us Talk Radio Network.
Floored again. I was totally taken off guard by that. You're listening to Best in Show, Best in Show, come here on Heroes Talk. Welcome back, everyone.
Oh,
nice. If you want to be a part of the show, you can, 877-744-6405. It's good stuff. I've got to be honest, man, as I'm sitting here, I'm getting so weak thinking about food. I think I'm going to eat today. I have to.
You can eat before the show's over?
I the fact that those pumpkin ales are right over there is really hard.
I'm going to eat beer.
Just have a pumpkin ale. Forget it. You know what I said before about you can make it and everything like that? You can't make it.
It's liquid.
Quit and just have a pumpkin ale. Go ahead.
It's funny you brought up us being at XM earlier because I was walking by the XM studios today. I was in that area. And I thought back to Monday, I believe it was.
You were in the city this afternoon. You didn't even think to like call and say, "Hey, what's up?"
I actually called and I called you from there, but you were
from XM. You were on XM today, and you called me from there.
No, I was on Sirius actually.
Oh, okay.
No. I was being Sirius on Z100. That's
okay.
What it was.
That's what it was. Sorry.
I was thinking back to this dream I had on Monday night. When I woke up Tuesday morning, I was going to call you, Chris, and apologize. And I was also going to ask you. Hey, man, did you have a dream about Saturday Night Live? And now let me explain this. Maybe it's too much David Lynch. Maybe it's too much books like Morning of the Magicians. Look it up if you don't know what that is. But I always tend to think that, like, if I have a dream, a realistic dream with another person that's not just completely off the wall and crazy, then, like, for some reason, I always think that person was having the dream also.
That would definitely qualify as insanity.
And I don't think it for very long, but, like, early on in the morning, I almost have this feeling, especially when I first wake up. So I was having trouble sleeping Monday night, and I woke up Tuesday morning, and I had this dream that Chris and I were going to be hosting Saturday Night Live.
Oh, good.
So
we got two people that you've never heard of ever and never will coming to host this show. What's up, guys?
So we're going to host Saturday Night Live. So
musical guest, Cannibal Overdrive.
Unfortunately, yeah. I don't know who the musical guest was. I did think about that later in the day. I'm thinking, so basically what happened is, I know dream descriptions are terrible, so I'll keep it brief, but, basically the first part of the dream is us kind of, and you know what, a couple days later now, it's kind of out of my mind. It was very vivid in the morning, but,
by the way, Deja's pointing out she had the dream too. The musical guest was the Church of Man Love, if you didn't know.
Well, maybe that's why we were there. So in this dream, we're like, we're in this room and we're just like talking about like how crazy this is and everything, and then we're standing in this waiting room area, and like, and I'm saying to you, I mean, I don't even know anything about what.
I'm sorry, I'm totally distracted by the fact that Talera pointed out in the Paltok room that she had a dream that her sister fought aliens and then they looted them for a box of tequila. Her and her sister fought a box of aliens.
Wait, that's how this dream ended.
That's weird. Oh, sorry, you guys had that same dream. That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, so we're talking and I'm just like, yeah, man, I don't even know anyone on Saturday Night Live anymore. And somebody brought up Daryl Hammond And then all of a sudden, like, you became Bill Clinton. That's, like, the dream part of it, you know. But when it snapped back into a normal dream, like, they call us over and, like, they're introducing us to people or something. And then and we're talking and we're like, yeah, man, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're even on. And now this is all happening while I'm sort of waking up. Have you ever had a dream and you kind of wake up and you open your eyes and you're looking around the room but you're still dreaming but you're sort of conscious of what's going on and you kind of realize you're dreaming?
Isn't that called lucid dreams where you don't know the
difference?
I thought
lucid dreams is when you can control your dreams.
Okay, you might be right. You might be right. I always thought lucid dreams were...
But you might be right, too, because I don't think you can control your dreams.
I misuse language all the time. It's fine. I thought you were talking, like, the whole thing where you wake up and you think you're awake, but you're still dreaming type thing.
Oh,
I've
no, had not even... Well, it's kind of like... It's weird, because you know you're dreaming. But, all right, so anyway, so this is probably the best way to describe this. So I wake up, and I'm looking around the room, but I'm still dreaming. And then all of a sudden, I'm back in the conversation with you, you know. But, like, my eyes are open, so I'm probably staring at the room. And as I'm talking to you, like, I'm saying, wow, this is really insane, man. How did we end up getting, like, how did we end up getting the host Saturday Night Live? This is crazy. And, like, millions of people are going to know about Best in Show now because they're going to see this. And then I'm like, but why did this even happen? Like, why did we even get this opportunity? And then I'm actually thinking it out, and I'm like, oh, wait, because you're a douchebag and you're dreaming right now.
I think that was lucid dreaming. I think
probably
you're
probably
did.
Right. I don't really know what that is. So
Deja saying that's what it is too. Lucid dreaming is where you're kind of awake. And about Equinox is saying lucid dreaming is being aware of the fact that you're dreaming.
Okay,
while
so
you're
that's
still
exactly what it was
state.
Then. So then now I'm just like, oh man, this is effed up. Now all of a sudden we're back in the car ride to XM, but I guess we're driving to Saturday Night Live this time. But we're going the opposite direction for some reason, and it's me, you, and my wife. The image of my wife sleeping in the bed right next to me in the car. And so, like, I'm talking to you in the car, but I'm looking at her sleeping, and then,
comfort
like...
comfort her over, there's a pillow next to
and,
her.
No, it's the image of her that I'm seeing, because I'm sort of awake. Like, so I say, yeah, but she's literally laying down sleeping, and I say to Chris, well, I was like, hey, man, and I was like, I shouldn't do this to him. And I'm like, nah, but I have to tell him, and I'm like, hey, man, do you know where we're going right now? And you're like, yeah, we're going to Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, but do you know what we're going to do? And he's like, yeah, we're going to host Saturday Night Live. And I'm like, didn't you ever stop and think maybe that's a little insane that they asked us to host Saturday Night Live?
So you tried to bring me out of your dream in your dream.
Yes.
At least he was delicate about it.
And
you
I'm just
mean?
Like, no, I wasn't, man. Because then I'm just like all angry. And I'm like, you're such an a-hole. Don't you realize that we're both effing dreaming right now and this isn't really happening? And because I was so disappointed at the whole thing. And your reaction is just to sit back, think, and then lay back down and sort of just disappear, and then you were just gone.
I looked at you and said, no, Dick, you're the one that's dreaming. And I jumped out of the moving car.
And then as I'm dreaming, this is probably the best part of all. I'm like, wow, so I'm dreaming. And then I see this girl on the street, and I'm like, I'm going to go try to have sex with that girl because I'm dreaming. And I, like, yell something to her.
Is your wife still sleeping in the car next to you?
Yes, and this is what ended it, because as I yell at my wife, starts to toss and turn, and I'm like, forget it, I'm going to wake her up, just forget it. And then I woke up out of the whole thing.
But so you thought. We're actually on the way to Saturday Night Live right now. Just so you know, Slayer's pointing out that it's immense self-hate if you're dreaming about trying to get others to get into reality. Exactly. That's the most absurd thing in the entire world.
I think we know about my level of self-hate at this point, so she's probably spot on.
Did you give the girl any, like, pickup line? Did you even say, like, hey, did you even talk to the girl yet? Or you woke up?
I yelled, hey, and of course, in my dream, now, it was to the point where, I was controlling this now. Like, this is my dream, so of course, like, she smiled to come over. I could do whatever I want now, you know? Like, but oddly enough, she was a little old for my taste.
If she came up to you, you would have said, do you realize I'm dreaming? And I can't have
it. I'd love to do it with you right now, but I'm dreaming. And you must be dreaming, too.
Exactly.
Except you're here trying to have sex with me, so you must be having a nightmare.
And I knew I was dreaming, and I knew about my surroundings, my real life. This is what was, like, this is the most I've ever been, like, 1 foot in one world and 1 foot in the other world. It was insane. Like, I am fully aware of my surroundings, that I'm laying next to my wife, and I'm dreaming, and I'm old, but I'm kind of thinking, like, but if I start talking now, she's going to hear me. And, like, that's why I was afraid to talk to this girl, do anything, because I'm thinking, I thought in my head that I was going to be doing this out loud, and my wife, I was going to be talking in my sleep, and my wife. I was sure that when I was yelling at you, I was yelling it in the middle of my bedroom, which obviously I wasn't, because my wife would have woke up and hit me and said, what the hell are you doing?
She was dreaming, too, though.
Oh, that's right. She was there, too. Right.
Keith, did the fact that you were driving a car throw up a red flag at all?
Was no one driving the car. It was just me here, him here, my wife in the bed car next to us sleeping, and the car was just moving. It was a dream. It was a dream. I mean, yeah, the Bill Clinton part was funny. I said to you, is Daryl Hammond still on Saturday Night
Live? I loved
Live?
Her on Splash.
Yeah, seriously.
And so I turn around, and then I'm like, and then all of a sudden you were Bill Clinton, and I'm like, but you kind of look like Bill Clinton more than him. And then I'm like, wait, but you are. Wait, then I was kind of like, wait, are there two Clintons? What?
Yeah, there's George Clinton.
I can't believe you sabotage your own dreams.
Yeah,
that's unreal.
Oh, regularly, I do that.
There's
regularly.
Something really crazy going on. Like I say, when I like the idea if you're having a nightmare, if you can come to that state of realizing that it's a dream and getting out of it. But when you're, I don't know, obviously living out some sort of fantasy and spoiling your own fantasy in a dream, it's really hideous.
I used to be able to scream myself out of nightmares.
Ooh.
Scream so loud that you actually woke yourself up in real life? Or is it just the...
Screamed in the middle of... literally screamed, yeah.
But
you
I'm saying, do you think
screamed in your bed.
But do you think it's the volume of what you were trying to do in your dream that actually woke you up, or the actual force that you were trying to get out of yourself that woke you up?
I don't know if it was the you mean the physical force? I think it was the mental force, actually, of it just woke me up, you know?
So like you screamed in your dream, but not in real life.
No, I screamed in real life.
In real life, too.
Yeah, in order to do that, and it was another thing about kind of knowing what I was doing. It was kind of like I know sort of that I'm dreaming, but it would kind of be more like a weirder situation. It would be like I know I'm going to scream out loud right now, but I have no other choice. It's my break the glass and, you know, emergency.
Just so you know,
way out.
The conversation that's going on in the Pal Talk room is the idea of needing to scream in your dreams and not being able to. And there's nothing, like, I actually got taken back by that. I hate the idea of just wanting to be able to scream and not being able to get it out. That's horrifying to me.
It took me a long time, but I can actually train myself to kind of overcome that. And now, a big thing for me used to be not being able to run or wanting to walk, like, away from something, but I couldn't get up off the ground. So I'm crawling and struggling and something's coming after me. Now I can just kind of, like, think through it, realize that I'm in the dream and run if I need to. But
see, if you realize you're in a dream, why couldn't you just make yourself fly then? Do that next time. Do
yeah,
next
time.
Right. You know what?
That's a whole nother level, Chris. I don't know if I can
You're dreaming. That. But I think isn't because if you can control your things and your dreams that much, like you actually can consciously say to yourself, oh, wait, I could just run. Why couldn't you just say to yourself in your dream, hey, man, I'm going to just fly. You know what? I'm going to shoot a missile out of my chest at this thing that's scary.
It's like the Matrix, you know? You can bend the rules. You can't break them.
I haven't remembered a dream in 15 years. I just don't. I know a dream, but I just haven't remembered a dream in over 15 years, at least.
If I could create if I could actually control all of my dreams, if I could control all of my dreams to the point where I know that as soon as I fall asleep, I'm going to be able to do whatever I want and it's going to be clear, all I would need enough money for is rent and like water and vitamins to keep me alive and sleeping pills.
You're constantly talking about that musical, man. It's over. It's over. Let go of rent already.
You seen it enough when you really need to see it in your dreams too.
You dream a lot, Chris, or no?
I would assume I dream every night.
Do you remember them every night?
Not so much. I remember particularly scary ones, I guess. I always buy into that whole weird thing, which I don't know if you ever heard, that if when you wake up and you remember your dream, if you look out a window, you'll forget your dream. And
what?
I'm telling you, it's a thing I've heard. It's like, I know it's an old wives' tale and it means nothing.
I've never heard it.
Try it tomorrow morning when you wake up, sit up in your bed, think what your dream was, look out the window, go take a shower, and when you come out, you won't remember your dream.
But we discussed when I used to have dreams about something I called the Black Shoe Store, which was like, it's not black in a racial term, but it was just, I don't know, it was just the word black, I don't know what it meant. I was also five.
It was goth.
I would get up and I would walk to the window, but I think I was kind of asleep while I would walk to the window, so maybe that's why I still remember it.
And it was a black shoe store? It just said black shoe store on it?
It just
was
sold black shoes?
It was the phrase. It was people, like, in robes, and it was the phrase black shoe store. And that's what I used to dream. And I used to walk to the window and point to the Greenpoint Bank.
Why has that not become a Church of Man Love song? The black shoe store.
I'm still kind of creeped out by the whole thing.
Well, exactly. All the more reason. Confront your demons. Confront your black shoe store demons. I love confronting demons here on Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. It's very exciting. It's been exciting stuff. I'm weirded out by dreams. I'm weirded out by the whole controlling the dream thing. I love the idea of it. I always remember there was a commercial for an Omni magazine that when we were kids that that Omni magazine, you could buy a subscription to it, and the issues of Omni that they were holding up on the screen, one of them said, control your dreams. And I always remember the whole thing. No, you're not on hold. Yes. I'm just finishing my story, you silly goose. Who's this on Best in Show? Surprise, surprise.
I was so impressed. I'm like, I think they have a call screener.
No, not that. We're not that cool at all. Solara joining
it's
us
so
here.
So busy, I got put on hold without even know. Please hold.
No, we got you here. What's going on?
Well, Pat has put me in the spot. I did not want to call because I thought I wanted to work my way up the ranks via text and then call, you know, a few weeks from now. No. But apparently I have to tell a story about my dreams. I have heroic dreams. I have dreams of saving people. Much of the alien dream was one of them. I also dreamt of, I dream like that the world was overcome by floods, and then I saved my family, and I had children hanging from my limbs, and Patrick underneath my arm. I always win, and then we get to water.
I always win.
I'm like a superhero in my dreams. They're awesome.
I don't know that I ever got the whole like winning at the end, or certainly like, I don't even get the idea of like winning, you know, in like one on one situations. Certainly not like saving the world
don't
from anything.
Don't you win when you have sex? When you come, don't you feel like you've won?
Well, it depends on what you like personally. I guess for some people that would be considered winning, but I guess that would be a victory. But I'm saying like even like on a grand scale like that, some sort of world saving, I don't get it.
I didn't think dreams had a beginning, middle, and end. I thought it was just this mishmash of things, and there wasn't an ending where you won or you lost or you.
From what Solara's saying here, it sounds kind of like what she's running is. It's almost like it's a major motion picture. Like there's a beginning, something bad happens, she comes, she saves them, and. I mean, how do your dreams end? How do these victorious moments come to a conclusion?
Once everything's fine, I know I'm dreaming because obviously my life isn't. So once I fixed everything, then I'm like, all right, I guess I should wake up. This is obviously not reality.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
I'm okay with it.
Do you feel like you need you're always dreaming about saving people. Do you think you need do you think that you need saving in your real life, and that's why you dream about saving people?
No, I know. In my real life, I'm a fixer.
Okay.
So I know that's why I dream. In my real life, I see a problem, and all I want to do is fix it.
So basically, this is like a magnification. This is like
it's
a
fixer extreme.
Exactly.
Yeah, except in the dreams, it actually works out. In my real life, I just stagnate in fucking mediocrity and not shit.
Well, that's kind of like a fixer, right?
You know what I wonder, though, Solera? Have you always like won in dreams? Because I didn't start like being victorious in dreams, which is rare, until I was an adult in my like maybe late 20s. Before that, it was always bad. Has it always been like a win situation for you?
No, they alternate. It depends on the state you're in before you go to bed.
Right.
I think don't always. I don't. You know, the best ones are the ones where I win. But then there's those weird ones where you're just like, why am I here? Can you stop dreaming this? And like, you tell yourself to stop dreaming this retarded dream. And you're like, I still want to sleep. I don't want to wake up. That's the worst part, when you know you're dreaming and you don't like the way the dream is going, so you try to work it out.
That's so advanced.
I'm telling you, I don't understand this whole level of semi consciousness in your unconscious. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not saying that I've never had what I guess we're calling lucid dreams before, and that I've never realized it before. But I've never had such an awareness in this unaware state. I feel like I'm missing out. I'm kind of jealous at this whole thing. I'm gonna lucid dream tonight. I'm gonna shoot a missile out of my chest. I'm gonna save the world. It's gonna be great.
You are right now.
You're awesome. You ever have those dreams where you're in the dream? Because he was talking about it before, but his whole like deprecating part of it, where it can't be possible because God forbid he should be famous and successful. But the point is, like, you're in the dream and you know it's a dream, and you're like, this is cool, I'm gonna run with it. Like, you're just like, okay.
Well, that's exactly what I did at the end when I saw the girl at the end. I was kind of like, oh, well, I know I'm in a dream now, so let me see what I can do about this situation.
So seriously, what's up?
I listened to a wet dream.
No, I even got scared off of that, too.
Solera, do you find that you have, like, a soundtrack going? I mean, the dreams that you're describing are, like, movie-era, heroic kind
of. My dreams are weird in the sense, first of all, I dream in Spanish.
Do you speak Spanish? That would be really weird.
I dream, because that's my first language.
Oh,
so
right.
All my dreams are in Spanish. And when there's English in my dream, I know I'm semi-conscious. Because then that I know I'm thinking in order to think in English.
Can I actually just totally off the dream? So being that English is not your first language, not even dreams at all. Do you actually think in Spanish, or do you think in English?
It depends on what I'm doing. If it's work related, I think in English. For like when I have sex, when it comes from not thinking, like when I have sex in Spanish.
Hi, Poppy.
Deja beat me to it. She asked in the chat room if you got English subtitles.
I'm telling you, that's what I thought the whole dream was going. The whole idea of just like you have this whole arc that happens, and then you win. And that's why I was asking, how do the dreams end? Like, I'm waiting for the credits to roll. Like, that's how that the whole thing was going to end.
Do you dream in color?
I always dream in color. I don't know. That'd be weird to dream in black and white. Marketing ad?
I got news for you. I got news for you. Our friend Bourgeoisie, who Fred used to be in a band with, always told me when he was younger he would dream in black and white. And he would dream only in cartoons. He didn't actually dream like reality, which I thought was just the most bizarre thing in the world.
Wow.
Cartoons aren't real?
What's going on?
Mark
Dock in the Hero Stock chairman points out that he dreams in HD, which is very exciting. It's very exciting.
I dream in Blu-ray.
Nice. So you can watch him again later. That's cool.
Awesome. I'm very excited. I'm very excited that you decided to call in and let us know about your dreams. So I appreciate you being a part of the show. Actually, your husband Irish Alki is asking if he's in your dreams when they happen.
Yes, I save him. I told him that the last dream at the Waterworld dream was really awesome.
Does he?
Because
I'm sorry. Does he?
He doesn't know how to swim.
Does he speak Spanish?
He understands. He took Spanish for a long time. He understands. Obviously, he's not a native Spanish speaker, but he does understand me when I'm coming.
In the dream. In the dream, is he speaking Spanish? That's my question.
Yeah, he does, and he sounds. Did you ever see? Like, I don't know. One of my favorite things to watch ever was Lucky Louie, but in Spanish. They would play it on the Spanish channel,
really,
but I'd watch it live. So he would have that really. He speaks Spanish very pronunciated. So his Spanish speak is like the dubovers of Lucky Louie for me and my dreams.
obviously overdubbed. Nice.
Mucho bueno.
Awesome. Well, Slayer, thanks so much for calling and being part of the show. The What Show is on Friday nights over at, what's the website? It's
The What Show.com.
What? I know that you can go. You can check it out over in the Opie fan room over on Pal Talk. I wasn't wasn't very well versed, but yeah, check it out. It's good stuff. And thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Hola.
Awesome. Wait, hola. Doesn't that mean hello?
Just hello to someone.
Hello. I'll see you later.
Sayonara.
Awesome. That's very very exciting. Good stuff. Slayer, by the way, is a Facebook friend of mine, who I've never spoken to once in my life up until today on the show. Facebook is my favorite thing in the entire world, mind you. And I am now unbelievably obsessed with the fact that people from my past are finding me on Facebook and talking to me on Facebook. And I think this kind of goes back to our conversation we had this past Sunday, where you want to get out of your zip code and you want to get away from your old life and move on with it. And I'm telling you, I love the fact that these people from my past are finding me, reaching out to me, and I just think it's the coolest thing in the world.
What do you love about it? You just the nostalgia?
I think we've established in the past here that I'm like I'm a dude who has like a nostalgia thing. I like clinging to the past, I guess, for lack of a better term. It was so much better yesterday. It's not like I'm unhappy where I am today, because I'm very happy with where I am today. It's just that
master cleansing.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I'll be better when I say today. I mean tomorrow, when the lemon and cayenne has cleaned me properly.
You know, I've always found that somewhat fascinating about you, Chris, because a lot of the stories that you tell about the good old days aren't necessarily that good. You know what I mean? Like, you don't sound, I guess, like you're just a genuinely happy person, but a lot of the stories that you tell just are not very happy. Do you think, like, you're whitewashing? You're kind of, like, coloring the past a little bit?
Coloring as in making it more awful than it used to be?
Making it better.
Or ignoring it?
Right, ignoring the awful nature of your past memories. Are you ignoring the fact that you're surrounded by death and...
I guess the idea that I'm happy with where I am today kind of spices my vision and puts a hue on it, puts rose-colored glasses on as I look at it. But, yeah, but life is a miserable thing, and there's all sorts of awful things going on all the time. To say that because there are bad things that have happened and you can't enjoy without it, I don't know that I buy into that. I don't know that I can go that way. I generally, like I say, I think I've had I've lived a interesting life, but I'd say relatively charmed. I don't have bad feelings so much. Not saying that bad things haven't happened, but I don't fear that stuff. And like I said, these people reaching out to me on Facebook, ex-girlfriends that I haven't seen in a million years.
Well, that's my question. Have you been rekindling old friendships?
No, I'm married. Well, friendships,
no,
yes.
Friendships.
Yeah,
I know.
I guess Facebook friendships, like the whole bunch of dudes and dudettes that I used to hang out with in high school. I'm talking like I was actually one of the two white kids that hung out with a bunch of Filipino and Chinese kids that we were affectionately referred to as the Gook Posse. And we were the two white kids in the Gook Posse. And mind you, I didn't come up with the name. They did themselves. And I was me and my friend Matt were the two white kids that hung out with the Gook Posse. And all these members of this posse are now reaching out to me. People I haven't seen in 15, 20 years. I mean, like high school. So 20 years old, I haven't seen these people are reaching out to me. And I just think it's awesome.
Do you judge them when you first look at them? It's like, oh, they still look the same, or they look different. Oh, they gained a lot of weight. Do you find yourself commenting in your head?
Because stuff like that, I'm not really all that intrigued. You know what? When the girls, when the ex-girlfriends reach out to me, I want to know that they either are being cool to me and they look good now, or that they're not being cool to me and they got fat and ugly. That's what I want to be the case.
Well, are you worried about what they're going to think of you? Like, is your picture good enough?
I have nothing but the most flattering pictures of myself available online, obviously, as I have pictures of me with the chicken pox when I was 30 and like 300 pounds and just have like, look like I have lesions all over my face. I don't care, man. What do I care? Like, I'm a married man that I'm very happy in my life. I don't care if people think I'm attractive because it's, you know, I obviously am. And they don't need to think it.
How are the girlfriends looking? How are those ex-girlfriends looking?
Oh, my God.
Looking
they're
good?
Looking good.
Some
they're
looking good.
Good. Some of them. Some of them.
I got a message from a girl I used to work with years ago. I hadn't talked. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was grabbing my mic stand. That I hadn't talked to in years, and it was just kind of odd. Like, it was like, wow.
Did you bang her, bro?
It's, no. Not at all. She, I worked with her for like 6 months, maybe. But actually, Rob worked with her, too.
And you dated her?
No.
I banged her.
Oh, well,
congratulations. Congratulations.
Take it away, Rob. That was the extent of my story, too. That I, yeah, some girl that from my past contacted me.
Yeah, I love, but I love the whole stuff. I love like trying to find people. I'm all excited. Like, there's this dude I used to know from Staten Island that I haven't seen in a million years that I've been frantically hunting for, just because he's a guy who I used to be friends with that I haven't seen in a long time. I just heard the underneath Brian's breath.
I am just the opposite. I run from my past. Like, any ex-girlfriend, if they ever, like, tried to contact me, I don't know. I'd have to move or something.
If my dreams come true and you quit the show tonight, I am the person you dread the most 3 years from now when I'm trying to find you on Facebook. Hey, bro, what's going on, bro? Let's go out for drinks. Like, ignore. Deny friend request.
A little bit, I guess. Like, as much as I'd like to think that I don't care what people think about me, I guess, like, if that girlfriend breaks up with me or something, like, she's dead to me. I'm not interested in her at all on purpose, you know? I go out of my way.
But what about the high school friend, like the guy friend that you had that you haven't talked to in, you know, 15 years? Are you still deleting him as well?
There's some friends that I actually miss that went out of their way to contact me. They found my email in some way, and I want to talk to them, but I'm so psychotic that I just can't bring myself to respond to his email because it's, I don't know, it's been so many years since we talked and I feel like I dropped the ball, so I'm just going to pretend that he got the wrong email address because I'm an idiot.
Maybe you guys can get together. Maybe this is that person calling right now here on the hottest of all, around the hottest of all lines here on Best in Show. Who's this?
This is George. I went to high school with Brian.
George, hey, buddy. How you doing, pal? Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I stepped in the way. Brian, it's George.
Are you still touching high school boys in the wrong place?
Do you remember that time where we put an M80 in the boys' bathroom?
No. No, come on, Brian. I blacked it out. I'm sorry. I don't want
to
talk
kidding,
to George.
I'm just kidding. Vito, guys.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Vito.
I'm starting to think this too? Isn't George. I'm starting to think it's not George. What's going on, buddy?
It's just like as if anybody just has like a random friend named George.
Why wouldn't you? I'd like to have I want to make a new friend named George. That's going to be my goal tomorrow. Make a new friend
is
named
last
George.
His name Glass?
Well, he's my boyfriend, George Glass. Listen, what's going on, buddy?
Well, I was just, you guys were talking about people that contact you from like your past out of nowhere, and you do realize that that's how me and Michelle got back together, right?
Not at all. But for those that don't know, Michelle would be Vito's fiancée, soon to be wife. I didn't know. Through Facebook?
No, what happened was she found, funny enough, my Wikipedia page.
Stalker.
Wait, are you trying to do that? Are you like rubbing that in our face because our Wikipedia page was deleted and yours still exists, well, you son of a bitch?
No, you know that I started your Wikipedia page, so I'm not rubbing that in at all.
Well, it hurts. It hurts a little bit. It stings like salt and lemon and cayenne pepper and maple syrup that you're putting in my wound. Sorry.
I don't want to interrupt Vito's story, but I want to go back to that afterwards if you don't mind.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. So she found your Wikipedia page and that's how she got back in touch with you?
Yeah, there was a link to my website on there, and I guess she just typed in like an email to me, and that's how we started talking last June. Like after like 10 years of not talking to each other.
I will say that that I'm quite fond of your lady. I think she's a great person, but I've got to say a little bit creepy. It's a little bit creepy that your reconnection happened through a website. That's kind of odd to me. I never knew that.
Well, you can pick it up with her. She's right here. Hold on.
What did you say about me?
No, I think you're great. I said I'm quite fond of you. I think you're a fantastic person. But I have to admit, it's a little bit creepy that your way of getting back in touch with you was finding his website.
Yeah, but you have to realize I've known him since I was 13, so it's not like we were
didn't speak throughout high school or absolutely hated each other or anything. We just fell out.
Okay, I understand. It wasn't totally. It borders.
I know I'm creepy, Chris. That's all right.
It's a little bit stalkerish. I mean, obviously, he wanted to hear from you. Obviously, you guys are you know, down with the brown and going for the gold and all that stuff. So obviously, you know, it was meant to that thing was supposed to be happening. It's just the way that it started. I gotta say, it seems a little suspect.
A little creepy.
Not creepy. All
right.
Creepy. It's okay,
I
though.
I won't argue.
Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great thing. I think you're a winner, and I'm glad that you're like I said, down with the brown and going for the gold. I think it's good.
Finally, Vito's
cool. Here's Vito. Hold on.
Awesome. I'm gonna have to listen to that on the download.
No, what happened? No, we said all you need to know is the term "down with the brown" was used twice. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
So Vito,
I was just bringing that up just because, like, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, I don't know if, you know, if Freddie was trying to get to something like that with you when he was asking, you know, like, have you, you know, been how? I guess, you know, I guess Freddie's asking, like, how in contact you are with those people, you know, like how
I tell,
not close you are now, but like how close you were, and you know, if you're willing to be close to them, is that right, Fred? Or
yes, totally.
I tell every one of them that reaches out that wants to hang, hey, here's my number, and I actually give them my number and say, here, give me a call. I work in Midtown Manhattan. I'll go out for a drink whenever.
I was wondering where I was getting all those weird calls from.
I gave my real number. It's 91. Oh, sorry. No, and I let people, you know, I don't care. I would love to hang out and just have a couple of drinks with you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving people my address and saying, hey, come hang out with my wife and kids. I'm also weirdly protective in other ways on the internet. Like, I refuse to put pictures of my daughter on the internet.
That's understandable, I think.
It's not. It's being a weirdo. It's not caring. My first and last name is out there all over the place. I think it's...
Can I switch gears?
Oh, I didn't say it was normal. I just said it was understandable. I mean, I would imagine, you know, a lot of people... You know, you can go one of two ways. You can either over-exploit, you know, your kids, or you can, you know, just make them special to the only people that matter, and that's your family.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's lots of people out there that can go right down the middle and actually just have a happy medium and don't have to go to one of the two extremes, but I don't know anything about that.
I want to switch gears here. Did you just recently go to one of Vito's parties? Did he have an engagement party or something like that?
Yeah, that was like, that's got to be like a month ago, right? Give or take, was
like
Vito's
that.
Engagement party?
Probably the end of August.
Yeah, and I even think I talked about it on the show. Didn't I say that I was out with him that day before?
I don't think you did. How was it? Was it good?
It was a fine time. We went out. We had a nice bit to eat. Had a couple of drinks. It was a good time.
Who went out with you, Vito? Who was out? Who got invited?
My mom actually sent all the invitations. So she invited mostly like my family, my sisters. My sister. That's funny that you say who got invited. My two sisters. I have an older sister and a younger sister that are from like my younger sister is my dad's kid, but my older sister is my mom's kid.
Oh, so your mom's kid
other.
Was invited,
so,
your dad's
like,
kid.
It's kind of cool that they got together, you know,
entertainment.
Know, I got pictures with them and stuff.
Was Keith invited?
I don't think my mom knows Keith, so I don't think she would have thought to invite Keith. I mean, I think they might have met once.
As I know what you're fishing for here, and I know what you're digging for here, I got to be honest. I think that I correct me if I'm wrong, Vito. I thought I was the only non-family member there, and in some respects, I almost feel like I'm a member of the family because I used to live with Vito and I know his mom very well. So, but
that's accurate.
Yeah,
my mom calls Chris her other son.
Yeah, and she legit.
And hey, she's called the show a couple of times. She and said, "How's my other son?" So I mean, it's out there for you to listen to.
Yeah. I absolutely. I don't think that there were any other friends there, though. I do remember specifically that when
I'm sorry.
Really? Brian's mumbling great jokes off mic, and he didn't get it. He said his response when Vito said, "Where's my other son?" He said, "The one that I really love." I do remember that.
Hasn't disappointed her yet, I'm sure.
I remember that when she did call though and saying, "Hey, let me. So I want to invite you to Vito's and you know Vito and Michelle's engagement party. It's going to be nice and great. And hey, could you give our?" He said something about his friend Keith or something that wanted to come. And I heard a voice in the back. I was like, "No, Mom, no, not him." So I don't know. I don't know what that was all about.
Hey, you. Well, I just wanted to read, like, because I bring this up, Vito, because I. Keith texted me like maybe a couple of days ago about your engagement party, and this is the text that Keith wrote me, Vito.
I am blown away by what's happening right now.
Secret does not equal Fred.
Vito, here is Keith's text to me. Should I be...
Wait. Actually, Freddy, before you say that, before you read it, because I'm totally interested in this, I will say this, that, you know, Michelle's already made a list of people to be invited to our wedding party, and Keith and Eileen are both on that list. So.
I'm not on it.
You aren't.
Perfect.
No, I'm being dead serious. But go ahead, read it.
I'm being dead serious about not answering whether Freddie's going to be invited.
Okay, so this is Keith's text to me about your engagement party, Vito.
Okay.
Should I be pissed that I'm seeing on Facebook that Vito had a giant engagement party with tons of people, and this is the first time I'm hearing of it? And this was maybe 2 or 3 days ago that Keith texted me this.
It was tremendous.
It was actually not very big at all. The greatest thing about it was the person that owned the bar. I don't know if she's a transsexual.
She definitely
is.
She
had the hugest boobs. Like, they're so fake. But like,
and she talked like this. Hey.
Wait, who is this you're talking about?
The woman who owned the bar. Hey. And she looked very, very feminine, curvy feminine. But then when she talked, she was just like, hey.
You wouldn't know, Keith, you weren't
God,
there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, Keith, you wouldn't know. You ask your brother, because your brother was there. You know, he was
Fred, was that like at your wedding? Oh, that's right.
Okay.
I didn't even know you when I got married.
Let's be. You know,
I love.
Frank.
Hold on a second, Vito. I love that Fred just tried to play the part. Nah, I didn't even know you guys at the wedding. Like, you took a week off from the show to go get married. What are you talking about? You didn't even know
that. In all fairness, okay. I didn't know Fred nearly well enough to be invited to his wedding. Chris, I don't think you really knew him either until the show, right?
Yeah, right. No, we've never met. I haven't known him since high school.
Yeah, but we all had a great time at Keith's wedding.
I actually
invited Keith's wedding.
You know what? The morning of Keith's wedding, I get the call from him saying, "Hey, wait, dude, you know what I just realized? I never invited you to my wedding. You knew you were invited, right?"
It wasn't a wedding. That was the thing. It was supposed to be we were going to go with our parents and like my and siblings to City Hall and then to a dinner. And then by the time my father-in-law was done inviting people, there was like 50 relatives at the thing. But
all I know is the morning of the wedding, or was the morning or the
it was
night
the morning,
before?
It was the night before when I realized this is turning into a thing now. This is turning into a thing.
And you're welcome to come to my wedding tomorrow if you want to, right? And it's like, yeah, I didn't put in for the day off of work. I'm good, thanks.
Keith goes like this: it's turning into a thing. It's his wedding day, and it's turning into a thing now for him.
It was turning because I was off the hook that
there's some sort of commitment involved? Oh, man. Forever? Forever, ever?
It was kind of like this whole thing that, like, you know what? I'm not, it's not going to be a matter of, you know, like, all right, because well, you know how people are with weddings. It's like you're trying to shave it down to half a person at some point, you know, like, and it was just kind of like that ain't going to be a problem.
Are you going back to Vanessa's hair removal story from earlier, shaving down people?
It ends up being like, you know, like, oh, but this person, and they want these people. And it was just like, that's not going to be the problem because you know what? It's going to be the family. It's just going to be the family. We're going to go there, and it's going to be like, you know, her parents and siblings and my parents and siblings, and then like, and then all of a sudden that morning I had relatives coming in from Jersey. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad everyone was there. But then I was like, wow, so now I had a thing, as I called it, that I didn't invite people to. And that's what it became.
Thanks. We all appreciate you. And Vito didn't invite you to his thing. And his mom didn't invite you to his thing. And you know what? He said to me, Vito, God damn it.
I never thought that we were close enough that he would invite me. You know, like, it's a weird thing. It's like, I mean, everybody knows Freddie's an asshole, and he wasn't going to invite me to his wedding, even though it was on my birthday.
Wait, Vito, he didn't invite anyone to his wedding other than, you did invite some people. Like, you invited
my brother, my mom, and my dad.
Debo was there.
No, none of my bandmates. No.
Wow.
Were any friends, Fred, aside from your brother?
Bourgeoisie was there.
This is the thing. I really didn't have many friends to put on because I have a lot of family. So I let my wife put her friends on.
I remember you mentioning that, yeah.
I just don't want to be like girls. Ooh, why didn't you invite? Who cares, man? To me, not being invited to a wedding is like a reward.
It's the gift. That's the gift.
It's a fantastic thing. I don't have to get dressed up. I don't have to spend more money than whatever the food that you're going to put in front of me is. I love the idea of not having to go to a wedding.
Vito, me and Brian are invited to a wedding, right?
To the wedding or the wedding? The party.
The wedding party.
Because, totally.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll add you to the list. I'll probably add Rob now because I just met him.
If you don't add me, I'll give you a gift. If you don't add me, I'll give you a gift.
Can it be in Brooklyn?
Well, what'd you say, Ryan? Can it be in Brooklyn?
Can it be in Brooklyn? Don't make me come
in. Michelle in the other room just yelled, no, it's not in Brooklyn.
And it's in Brooklyn. Awesome. I think I'm glad all of you are going to be invited. I'm glad all the listeners. We're actually going to do a book signing at Vito's wedding. It's going to be one of the greatest things in the world. One of us has to write a book before then, though. It's going to be really great. We're going to turn it into a big event, and it's going to be a fancy time. And if anyone's not invited, don't cry about it. I just think it's silly to care about it. I can't believe that Keith was so upset that that Vito didn't invite him.
He was I was bummed or bombed.
Man,
I was blind.
He's pleading the Brian rule. He was drunk. He was drunk.
You don't think you act differently when you're drunk?
Yeah.
So drunken me sees like Vito and one person, and it's like, oh my god, there was 700,000 people there, and I wasn't one of them. Then I looked at the pictures actually, again, and I was like, oh, it's just Vito and some relatives.
I saw the subject of the text actually said, "Woe is me," is what you said at the title of it, which I thought was ridiculous. Awesome. Well, Vito, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Thanks, Vito. Bye,
thanks for calling in. People want to check out Vito's stuff. He's over at VitoDelSante.com. I'm sorry.
Hey, talking about getting invited to things and also talking about Facebook, I was recently invited by some old friends on Facebook to a high school reunion, like just this past week. Have any of you guys gone to like a high school reunion or any reunion type thing?
You couldn't pay me enough to go to a high school reunion.
Yeah, I didn't really even talk to anyone in high school, so it would be pointless for me to go.
I did not go to my 10-year high school reunion. I was about to. I will probably go to my 20. I didn't go to it.
You're going to invite me, right?
Yeah, obviously. Obviously. My suit was out. I was going to wear it, and I was good to go. But then we were just like hanging out, listening to music and drinking beer. And it's like, yeah, I don't even want to leave the house and go do this.
I had to stay home and stab my eyeballs with a knife instead.
Wait, Brian, were you at my house the night of my high school reunion when I didn't go? For some reason, I think me, you, and Runner were hanging out at my house
really?
One night.
Maybe.
It's very, very odd memory thing. I didn't go, so I'm guessing you went to your high school reunion or your...
No, no, I'm being invited now to a 15-year high school reunion.
15 years ago you graduated high school?
Yes,
God,
sir.
God, you're old. Do you sometimes think about how old you are and get sad? I would go. I would totally go. You're a successful man. You're an executive producer of at least the second most listened to radio show on Hear Us Talk. Come on. I think you got to get out there and spread the wealth.
I think I'm going to stream it if I go.
That would be awesome. Either that or you should just go out there and hand out Hear Us Talk t-shirts to everybody when you get there. I think it'd be great. I want to say out there, just so I forgot to mention our buddy Vito, just want to say a special thanks to him for hooking us up with the young lady that got us in that podcast article last week in the AWE. It was an exciting little bit of things that we were involved with.
Yeah.
It's bestinshow.com here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Best in show, let them start your day. You should listen live, the Fantasy Cavalcade. Hear them talk, but why don't you chime in so toll-free? It's the hottest of all lines. 877-744-6405, the hottest of all lines. 877-744-6405.
This is Keith from Best in Show Radio. Here's just a sample of what you will hear on Best in Show.
I have to go get an ultrasound on my neck tomorrow because I've had a sore throat since February. My doctor grabbed at my neck a little bit, and she said, well, it doesn't feel swollen, but you should probably check for a mass or something on your neck there.
Who's praying in your neck?
Wait, so what happened? I'm trying to understand what's happening. So tomorrow you're going to the hypochondria clinic, and they're going to charge you for something else to figure out if it's wrong? Figure out if there's nothing wrong with your nothing?
Well, the sore throat is real. I've had a sore throat. When I yawn, you have a rock in your ass. I have a rock in my throat.
I physically see the rock in my ass.
I can't look in my throat.
I guarantee you there's nothing wrong.
Well, I hope.
You want to bet? I bet you don't have throat cancer. If you have throat cancer, you're the winner, okay?
See, now I'm totally torn.
I want to want to win this bet, but I'd like to live. I'd like to not have a drink too.
You just won the throat cancer lottery.
Best in Show Radio is proud to be a part of the Heroes Talk Radio Network.
Very exciting. Very exciting return to Best in Show here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. We apparently have some live music in studio as our very own Fred is, I want to say tickling the ivories. I'm going to say it's tickling the ivories anyway, because now playing bass is now tickling the ivories.
This song is called Nobody's Coming to My Wedding.
And my wedding is now, you cannot come, Vito Michelle. You guys are dumb. I'm not letting you in. Not Keith or Chris. Brian, he can come. Ha, psych. Take a piss. See you later. Well, I couldn't think of anything else. It was a try, right? It's a try. I tried. It was improv.
So I got a little game show.
What do you mean?
It's called Don't Blow That Line. And no, Keith. Really, no. Keith, don't blow that line. Stop.
I'm waiting for the razor blade. What's going on? Are we hanging tonight or...
So, me being a bass player, every time I pick up a bass, I just fiddle.
Is that funny? He fancies himself a bass
just
player.
Called himself a bass player.
I mean, me being a musical genius, you know, me being a virtuoso at the bass.
I like to fiddle the bass every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I have, favorite bass lines that I continually play over and over. And I just wanted to see if you guys could not blow that line.
Bass line. See, now I get it. It's punny. I got what you're doing.
It's punny. So this is the rules. You get a point for the name of the song. You get a point for the artist. But I'm going to throw in a little something.
A little wrinkle?
I'm going to play them backwards.
I'm going to play the first three notes of the line first. And if you could get those first three notes, if you could name the song and the artist, you get 3 points. If you can't, I play the bass line fully through, and if you can name either the name of the song or the person that wrote it, you get a point each.
Do we scream it out?
No. You're each going to get 3 songs each.
Separate songs. Okay, good. But now, start? I'm excited about it. Now, here's the catch.
Now, we don't have consequences to losing on these game shows, right?
Something we get criticized for regularly. We do game shows all the time with no payoff. Please, Fred, give us what our payoff is.
The loser, the person with the least amount of points.
Which will not be Fred.
Which will not be me. It'll be either Chris, Brian, or Keith. Whoever loses has to be my slave next week. For the entire show.
And that's slave for the show?
Slave for the show. That means getting my beer.
I love it.
Getting a drink. And maybe I'll bring some food preparation. You could prepare me food. You could take a paper towel to my underarms.
By the way, Deja came up with a better idea. You lose a finger for every wrong answer.
I like that too. But I think, you guys want to keep your digits.
I love it. I love the idea. I'm totally down. I'm 100% down. I have no problem with it. I really hope I don't lose because I don't want to towel those pits under any circumstances. You're not going to make us like smell them or taste them.
I'm not going to make anyone do any tasting or anything like that. You're going to be my cabana boy for the whole show.
Yeah, I said no smelling or tasting. You forgot Brian Vacation in Fire Island.
All right, Chris, you're up first.
Why me? Why me first? All right, that's fine. Let's go.
Don't blow the line.
Does this game have music to it? Or?
No music. This is the music. Oh. So I'm going to play the first three notes. Let's see if you can name it.
That would be Jane's Addiction. I don't remember if that's Ocean Size or Mountain Song. I get the two confused all the time.
If you don't get them both right in this...
Yeah.
I just want to say, if Chris doesn't get these both right, I'm going to continue to play the bass line, and then he will guess again.
Don't wear no clothes. I'm calling it Mountain Song. I don't remember if it's Mountain Song or Ocean. It's Ocean Size. It's neither. Is this like like Classic Girl or something like that? Is that I know it's Jane's Addiction. I just don't know what the frick. Me and My Girlfriend.
You got one.
We don't
point.
Wear no clothes.
You got one point. It's called Summertime Rolls.
It's on
Summertime Rolls.
By the way, drop the chat rooms, guys, because the answers are coming like crazy.
Oh, I wasn't even looking at it.
So Chris
Unless
gets
you
one
don't
point.
Want to be Fred Slave, then cheat.
Yeah. Chris gets one point. If you don't get both of them right in that three note section, I'm going to continue to play the bass line.
Okay.
I guess.
Does it make sense to rotate around and do someone else's one, or you want to do all three of mine?
I'm going to do Brian's next.
Okay, good.
Brian left. Brian. So.
Oh, I'll do. Okay, I'll do. Brian, you here? All right.
He has the wireless headphones on. He wants to go to the bathroom. Why don't you do Keith next?
I'll do Keith. Ready, Keith? Here's you. Let's see what I got here. Okay.
Exciting. Fred, what's the name of this game show?
Don't blow that line.
Don't blow that line.
Yet. Okay, you ready?
Was that it?
Nope, ready?
That would be Dazed and Confused by Led Zeppelin.
That's so effed up. That was an easy one.
It's three notes I played. You can get that out of this.
I 100% knew that was Led Zeppelin, Dazed and Confused. 100% did.
Luck of the draw, my friend.
Wow.
Luck of the draw.
Keith gets 3 points. Ooh,
son of a bitch.
This is big. That's big.
The thing is, if Fred's going to send me around, I like excuses to get up and walk away, so I may just throw this game.
It helps that the first three lyrics of that song was the title. No?
The first three what?
He's saying that song, because his song, the words that would have come right after that are the name of it. It was easier for Keith, but we know that he likes Keith the best.
Like, I don't think he says Summertime Rolls until literally 15 minutes into the song.
I rattled off like 100 lyrics to that song and never got to the point.
I've heard Dazed and Confused 8 million times. The fact that he says it in the first line had nothing to do with it. Maybe the fact that it's such a distinctive bass line, but... And yes,
not,
he likes
not
the
way,
the best.
Not the way this guy's playing it. It's not that distinctive. I mean, he is a bass player, but.
Right.
So, hey, Brown, you know what the name of the game is, right?
Be Freddy's slave next week.
Don't blow that line. Fred.
Come on. First of all, that was four.
Well, that, yeah.
I know this. I know this. I don't know the name of the song.
Louie.
Can you do it again? Because an idiot took my hit.
I'd say...
You're evil, man. I appreciate the softball, but you're evil. And you really hate Brian.
I know. If this is what I think it is, the fact that... If this is what you're playing for him, it's really bad.
I think there's got to be like 8 billion answers,
Louie is the first thing that pops into my head.
I'm going to play it now.
Right,
Louie, your answer.
Pixies.
Oh. Are there steals in this game in case somebody can't get it?
No.
Can I at least sing it when he doesn't know the answer?
I lost this game.
Can't get it?
No, I don't have
Chris?
It.
Chris?
It's not what I thought it was. I'm going to do mine later. But
I don't have to sell my soul.
Yes, it's Stone Roses. I Want to Be Adored.
That's why I don't know. Go back to the beginning. Play the first part again. Just... Yeah. Father of mine, where have you been? That's what I thought you were playing, Everclear, and I was going to kill myself.
Not that I would ever be able to get that for the first three notes, because you're evil, but, I mean, I honestly lost that.
I'm amazed you didn't know it. I thought you were a big Stone Roses
fan. After you said it, yeah, it's clearly. I'm an idiot.
By the way, I had to check the chat room to see if anyone thought it was Everclear from those first few notes, because I swear that's what
Somebody had to say Stone Roses, right?
Nobody's answering at all. People don't
want
to be adored.
Jay Carter, watching the debate. I want to be adored.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Jay Carter. Oh,
okay,
had to get
there
that
it
one.
Is. There it is. Okay.
Well, after the first round, the standings are this: Chris 1, Keith 3, Brian Goose Egg.
Mm. Nice.
All right, Chris, you're up.
All right, buddy.
Here's your three notes.
Yeah, just play the whole part because there's no. That would be Inagata DeVita, and I can't remember what band.
That's
it is.
An extra point.
I want the steal, right?
I can't get steals.
Oh. Iron Butterfly.
For a second, I thought you were going to blank out and not even get Inagata DeVita. It looked like you were headed that way.
Do those first notes again. Yeah, that's impossible to get it from that.
You
would have never gotten.
I got dumb, dumb, dumb.
No, I know. Yours sucked. Yours sucked, but when we played the whole song, I knew it. Because I'm a rocker. I got 2 points. I'm
so
up to three.
Three.
I'm tied with Keith. on the game show. What's the name of this show?
Don't blow that line.
Keith, come on, bro. Don't blow that line.
So Keith's up
next.
Clean
up.
Let's see. What do I got for Keith
here? Cold rehab.
That's next week when I come in and I play the guitar parts to songs backwards.
No, that was my guess for the next song, the Amy Winehouse song.
Wow, I didn't even know that existed.
You ready? Here, Keith, you're up next. Here's your three notes.
Do it again.
No, those are three different notes.
I'm sorry.
You have to know that.
Three? I don't think I do.
Come on,
can
dude.
Can I get one more three before I get the
whole
song?
Yeah, do the three one more time.
No, do the whole song.
Dude, you worked in classic rock radio.
Oh. Money by Pink Floyd. I wasn't thinking along that lines. See, you know what the problem is, too? When I hear three notes, I always think that it stops there. Like, and I'm thinking, like, what song goes like that?
I like how we go back to the tape here, the first three notes that you played were just different, just entirely different than the second.
And yet another wrinkle in Fred's game. A little quirk.
Well, Brian, you're up now.
Go ahead, hit me.
You ready?
Let me blow that line.
Ready?
Come on. Give it to me.
Oh, when those saints go marching in.
Come on, that's it.
Oh, when
do
those
it, do
saints
more, more,
go
more.
Over
I mean,
there.
I know what it is. It is. It's Joy Division.
Day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out, day in.
Stand By Me, but I don't know who you're gonna say is the band.
Well, I'm going for the I'm going
I
for the person
you said
that
Joy
wrote
Division.
It.
Well, no,
well, that was for his three. That was for his three note bit.
Yeah, I don't know who sings Stand By Me.
Disgusting, you all are.
Yeah, sorry.
Ben King, Ben E.
Ben E. King.
King. Okay. Brian, you got one
you got
point
a point.
There, buddy.
You got a point. You're on the board now. You broke. You cracked your seal. You're okay. You're gonna pull through.
He didn't quite blow that line.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He didn't. He left. I mean, but he left. There's a lot of it left on the table. But he got a little bit out of it.
All right. So who's next, Chris?
This is my last shot.
It's your last shot.
And what did? And Keith is already at what? Keith has five.
Keith is at. Keith is at five. Chris is at three. Brian, uno.
So if I get at least one point here, I know that I'm guaranteed for at least a playoff against Brian. If I get one point. If I get 2 points here, we already know that Brian
lost.
Whew. Let's do it.
You ready?
Let's do it. Exciting. It's Best in Show, by the way. BestinShowRadio.com. Here on Here's Something You Do With Your Ears, the place to be. We're playing a fun game show. It's called
Don't Blow That Line.
Thanks. Stand By Me. Benny King, right? I have no idea. Keep going.
Keep going?
Yeah. I guess I'm not getting those 2 points, huh?
Hold on. I know you. I'm not going to say what it is. I know you know what it is because it's similar. That is so not the way that
song I know.
This is how the song goes.
It's close enough.
Hold on.
I demand a recount. I officially demand a recount.
Hold on.
No, you're screwed it up right there.
I have no idea what this is. And I think I deserve some sort of No, there's no steals allowed.
You don't know that song.
No.
What if I give Brian, would you agree that if I give Chris the first line of the chorus and he gets it, we'll let him have the points?
So you know it's something I don't know.
You know it.
Will you agree on that?
What, say it again?
If I give him the first line of the chorus and he gets it, we'll let him have the points
no,
for it?
No. I'll take 0 points. I take 0 points because I don't know what the hell this is. Give me the line of the chorus anyway.
Into the sea, you and me.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made a difference.
Love Cats by The Cure.
Oh, wonderful.
Blew that line, Chris.
And I don't think that's right.
You're
I don't think that's why that song's played.
You're not actually totally wrong. You said you didn't know, so you're right.
I'm a bass player. Did I mention that before
I
started this game?
Oh, man.
Chris blew that line.
I could actually maybe not be your slave.
We got a game here. We got a game. Who's next?
You better not play a Kid Koala song or something for him.
They only get harder. I mean, as they go on, they get harder. Who's up next?
I should have known that.
Was it Keith?
I think Keith.
I'm up next.
What haven't I played yet?
Oh, I forgot.
What haven't I played? Okay.
Wait, no, dude. I don't have the chat room open.
Yeah, but someone's gonna...
Yeah, I know. My wife listens to the show, I'm sure. Who signed off? Oh, that was it? Mm-hmm. Oh, do it again.
Also four notes. He can't count. Give him a break.
Even with the four, I don't know, so just let it roll. Oh, it's Fugazi... The waiting room?
Woo!
Oh, just waiting room?
Keith moves up to seven.
I just want to say...
It's also not the first
I just want to say 100%.
Fred.
I love that song. 100%.
That was the biggest effing, like, softball over and over again to Keith. Did you ask him before, hey, Keith, what songs do you want to play for you tonight? I'm going to use a dirty word. Poop. That's poop.
Brian is up. Now, Brian could either...
Throw me a softball, would you?
Win it or lose it. This is
better.
Certainly...
He'd be the better slave. Come on.
It would be funny to make Chris have to get up the whole show. The Chris show, I mean. Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Brian?
I'm sorry. Do it again. Jesus, there's no way I'm getting this. It's, I hate this freaking band, and I don't know the name of the song.
You are massacring these bass lines, by the way. That's fine.
It's... I hate this freaking band. Stone Temple Pilots.
That's 1 point.
Ooh. But wait, keep going. Give me a little more here, would you? Shoot. It would take me too long. I'm not going to get it.
You know what's amazing? I can think of every word, but I can't tell what the title is.
If you're out of your mind, you're going to mouth the word to the song while you're an inch away from Brian?
Yeah, I saw him doing it. I was like, censoring.
I was viewing his eyes going down.
This is the game, Bri.
I'm sorry.
Is for a tie.
I guess I'm your slave.
Wow. Stone Temple Pilots, Big Bang Baby.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got that.
Wow.
Yeah, and you definitely, you are all over the place when you're playing, dude. You didn't play it that this well a minute ago. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Well, that's because Brian,
no
was,
wonder
up.
Why
Brian
Monty,
was up to be my slave.
No wonder why Monty threw you out of the group. I understand.
How many more you have left?
That's it. Brian is my slave.
No, how many more did you have left, though?
What do you mean?
How many more did you have left?
Songs?
In
case there was a tie right now, what would you
I was just going to make one up.
Dude, I can't believe he got Waiting Room.
I did. I can't believe the songs that I'm getting. I got like a stone...
I threw you softballs, and it got a DaVita.
Yeah, you got some easy ones.
The Jane's Addiction, you got in two notes.
Stone Roses, Stone Temple Pilots, he was definitely just going down iTunes.
No, he was stoned while he was coming up with the idea for the show.
Duh, Keith.
It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be, where next week, next Thursday on Best in Show, you will hear, now, is he going to be considered your slave for the day? Is he considered your cabana boy? Is he considered your...
My
servant. Your line blower? It's your line blower.
My fluffer.
Do this line. Oh. Get really high off it.
Yes, massa.
Awesome. Awesome.
Well, my beer boy. He'll be my beer boy for next week.
Oh, congratulations. Congratulations to you, Brian. I hope everything works out for you. I can't wait for you to towel Fred's armpits off last week. It's exciting.
It's going
to
be fun. It's going to be fun. I'm going
to... What won't you do next week, Brian?
Oh, well, I'll do anything.
Oh, great.
I'm your slave.
Awesome.
Awesome. One other thing I just want to mention. I know we were talking about this before in the whole Facebook thing and talking about people chasing after you and stuff, and or not so much chasing after you, but reaching out to you and connecting with you again. The one thing that I forgot to mention, my other Facebook problem that I'm having this week. By the way, I'm getting very congested all of a sudden. I feel like I just blew lines all of a sudden. My nose sounds crazy.
That actually started happening to me earlier.
You ran out of cleanser.
I did run out of cleanser. I'm dirty. I'm dirty. Put lemon in my nose. Somebody help me. The other thing that I'm addicted to, and I have to give all credit to do, or all blame due to our buddy DJ Newstyle for the invite that he sent me through Facebook, desktop tower defense is the most addictive thing on the planet, and I can't stop doing it. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, it's a flash game.
Video game.
And it's so stupid. You put these little towers up as these little bug creatures are going across your desktop. It's the greatest game in the world. You upgrade these towers, and they're frost ones and missile ones. It's so cool, and it's so fantastic.
I didn't know Facebook had a version of it, but tower defense games are big on the addiction level of games, internet games in particular. I know people who don't touch games at all. They can't step away from it. They constantly have to build up their
My power. Wife, so mad at me. So mad at me 2 nights ago. It was like coming in to the room, as coming into my little office, whatever, that used to be the home of Best in Show. And she comes in. She's like, wait, what are you doing in here? I thought you were paying bills in here or something. And I'm just sitting there playing desktop tower defense over and over again. I'm like, you got to understand. It's on easy, it's no problem. But when you put it to normal and you got two lines of creeps coming towards you, what are you going to do? Like, and I was insane. It's
wait,
the greatest.
When you got two lines of creeps coming towards you, what are you going to do?
It actually says in the game that they're creeps.
Well, what? Wait, so the whole object of the game is to protect your tower? Is that the whole object of the tower defense game?
Your whole object of the game is to stop things from going from one side of the screen to the other by building little towers to shoot at these things and kill them.
Oh, okay. So you're not protecting your tower.
No, you're using towers to defend your desktop.
Okay.
Apparently, the side of the desktop that they're trying to run to, because it looks like it's your desk, there's money on the other side. So you're probably just protecting your money from the creepies.
The creepies? Is that what they call them, too?
They call them creeps.
How are the graphics on that game? Is it just like squares and circles?
I would say it's somewhere between Combat on the Atari 2600 and Pitfall. Somewhere there. No, it's not that bad. It's a flash game. But it's cartoony. It's like the sound effects are the best. Like when you shoot it, like, pew, pew, boom. Like it's really great. It's like real, real deep sounds that you have on there. But I'm telling you, once you start doing this game, it's the greatest thing in the entire world. Germ Freak points out this game sounds like it would give him a headache. I'm telling you, that stupid crazy taxi game that Germ Freak invited me to, that gave me a headache. That irritated me to no end.
I've stayed away from them because I know that they're so addictive, and I also think that there's no end to it, right? Like, there isn't a win. Like, you never win the game. You just keep playing it forever and ever. Is that right?
I don't know where the winning... Well, you have a certain amount of lives that you could lose. I think it's 20. And 20 dudes can cross that final line. As long as you stop 20 of those dudes from getting to the end, then you win and you get a score.
Oh, okay. So there is an end to the game.
Yeah, I think
as opposed to you just dying and not being able to.
I think there are 50 levels. When you get to the 50th, if you can get to the 50th level without 20 dudes crossing that finish line. It's so good. It's good. I just thought I'd mention that.
Well,
Keith, it's good. The game is good.
Game? You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, it's a game. It's
no, I mean about goodness.
No, why don't you tell me about goodness?
All right. Well, something that's not good is my phone. You see, I check my phone a lot during the show. I'm not nearly that important. I'm just more neurotic, but I check my phone constantly, and my phone tends to play tricks on me at times. And by tricks, I mean my phone basically, this will only work to anyone watching on the camera right now. My phone, I can flip it open and dial. But when I have it locked, there's a little switch on the slide which easily opens in my pocket. Basically, it starts running through my menu book, my address book, I should say, and then all of a sudden dialing numbers. So I believe it was Tuesday morning. I'm on the bus on my way to work, and I look down at my phone, and I see that, and I looked at the recent list of calls, and I'm like, now, keep in mind, it doesn't tell me if the call's incoming or outgoing. So I look at the recent list of calls, and I'm like, why is Fred's wife calling me at 8:30 in the morning? Now, keep in mind, I've met Fred's wife a few times at, like, you know, parties or whatever, we've probably said two words to each other each time, which was probably like, hi, hi, you know, like, and that's it. And so I'm thinking, like, why is Fred? And I'm thinking, all right, Fred's probably calling me on his wife's phone for some reason. You know, like, that must be what it is. And then I look down and I see there's another call, and I'm like, wait, why is Chris's wife calling me at 8:30 in the morning? So now I start to panic, and I'm like, and I'm running through my head these scenarios, and I'm like,
somebody's dead.
Like, I'm thinking, like, the likeliness of, on a work day, of Chris and Fred being together at 8:30 in the morning and something. And I'm thinking, wait, maybe something happened last night, but, like, why would their wives be calling me? So I'm thinking, like, all right, well, who should I call first? Now, I know Chris's wife very, very well. I've known her for a long time. So I'm automatically thinking, all right, I'm going to call her first, you know, like, and then I'm like, wait, let me just double check this. And I go into the answered or the missed call section, and there's no calls. I go into the answered section. There's no calls. I look into the dialed section. My phone in my jacket pocket, in my sweatshirt pocket, randomly ran through the menu and dialed two numbers, Fred's wife and Chris's wife.
That's scary, man. That's scary that your phone just dials in your pocket. You don't know who you're dialing.
Oh, it's horrible. And
it doesn't just dial in your pocket. You're bumping into things.
Oh, no, but I think that's what he means, the idea that you're just randomly dialing people.
That he has the numbers on the outside of his phone, where every normal person has like a flip. Every other normal person has a flip phone, where, you know.
I'm holding up my BlackBerry to the world, but I'm also like to hold up another thing to you. I have a little button. It's called keypad lock.
Well, I have one on the side of my phone. It's this little thing. You slide it and it locks. You slide it again, it unlocks.
You probably slid and locked it way too many times. It's just loose.
Then that's not a real keypad lock, because a real keypad lock, you have to put in some sort of code to get yourself going.
This is just a little lock that's not doing anything, basically. So it's randomly dialing numbers, and then so. This is the bad part of the story.
So you met up with their wives, and what happened?
It's like a dream.
So, no, unfortunately, it's a nightmare. So, now I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking back, but I'm looking at the phone, and the funniest part of all this is when I first look at the phone, it does, Fred, is your wife listening to the show tonight, you think?
No, I think she's sick.
Excellent. I remember.
Sick of me.
That, are we all? I remember that, Fred dialed his wife for my phone one day. So, well, Fred had told me at one point that when Chris used to make jokes, bro, your wife's so hot. Your wife's so hot. Oh, no, he's like, it bums me out so much when he says that. So,
wait a minute, who? Wait a minute. Repeat that again. Who gets bummed out when they say it? Chris gets bummed out?
No, you once did. Told me,
oh, yeah.
That you get bummed out when, because Chris during a show was just like, dude, your wife is so hot.
I actually think what I said was, Fred, I want to eat your wife's ass.
Stop! Oh, that's right. That's Stop! Right. That's what it was. Right.
That I said. And it was meant as a joke.
Don't say
it was meant as a joke. And if you remember, I called and apologized to you after the fact because I thought it came off as creepy.
It did.
No.
So, Fred.
I mean, I do want it.
So.
Stop!
What?
Stop!
So, anyway. Sorry, I had to answer the set phone. Fred is no.
So yelling, stop, stop, stop!
It's Fred's wife's ass.
So when Fred's telling me this in the car, I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. And I was like, you know, he doesn't mean it. He's like, no, I know. It's just, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, but she really is hot, you know that, right? Just because I had to stop being a jerk, and now so. Fred called his wife for some reason. He couldn't use his phone. He calls his wife from my phone one day, and I'm like, oh, and I saved the phone number. And I
That's
saved
creepy.
It.
That's creepy.
I saved. Well, the reason I did it was for this reason, and I showed it to you. I saved the phone number, and I was like, "Here, bro, just in case you ever need to call me, I saved your wife's number, and I saved it as. Can I give you a last name on the air? No, right?
Yeah, you can.
I can. All right,
Silo.
We'll say Silo.
Okay,
we'll say Silo. I saved it as a Hottie Silo.
Is it still saved that way?
Yes, because. On the bus, Tuesday morning, I
look
at my
Silo
phone and I'm like,
you?
Why is Hottie Silo calling me at 8:30 in the morning? Granted, I did change it to your wife's first name now. And then I was like, I should probably just delete this because, like, I just feel creepy now that I... Somebody
so it says Nikki Hottie? Hottie Nikki is now...
But I'm saying, if your wife, say, some circumstance, your wife has your phone, and I'm calling you from my wife's phone, and your wife looks at the number and says, Hottie Silo is calling right now.
I didn't intend to keep it that way, but I showed it to you like, haha, look at this, and you were like, ha, you're such a jerk. And then I put the phone back, and that was it, and it was stored forever in my phone as Hottie. So that's the other thing that's crazy to me. While I'm trying to figure out why the Best in Show wives are calling me at 8:30 on a Tuesday morning, is wait, and why does that even say Hottie?
Well, I'm flattered, Keith. Thank you.
I changed you to Hottie now, and I put her rightful name.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you.
Well, congratulations on learning to operate your phone.
And then I felt bad because that means I dialed your wife's phone at like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday.
And she had it off.
Okay.
She doesn't have her phone on at that time. She turns it on.
She knows you have idiot friends that might have her number stored.
That's what it was. My favorite thing, by the way, about that is when I was, as you were starting your story, you referred to your contacts in your phone as your menu book. And being a guy that's starving right now because of this lemonade and maple syrup diet that I'm on, I was fantasizing that menu book was this thing on the internet where recipes that are looking to reach back out to me or trying to reach out to me and get with me.
Steak. Oh, we miss you, Chris.
Menu book.
Come back.
It would just be a good, exciting thing. Brian's Train Tales. Speaking of looking
something
coming back.
Something happens up to this stupid son of a bitch on a train every week.
It's been a while. It's been a while. I sort of miss this whole thing, and what it comes right down to is just the same things keep coming and happening to me over and over again. I don't feel justified to bring it up. But a couple of days ago, something happened to me in the trains, and I figured I'd bring it to your attention. All right. When I'm walking around the streets, I always got my spidey senses tingling about like who's coming up and who's going to be around the corner. But the minute I get into the subway, it's extrapolated to like the nth degree, and I'm always trying to be like the first one to go through the stalls, and the first one to get down the stairs, and the first one to be on the platform, because I'm kind of, as I'm entering the station, I'm fearful that I'm going to miss this next train. I don't know what it is, but it's always, maybe it's all about efficiency. I got to get there, first. And some of the stations, as you enter in, have little signals that tell you, hey, a train's coming, and you can look at a sign somewhere, and it tells you which one, so you can rush or not. Well, the one at Broadway and Houston that I'm commonly at, because it's near where I work, doesn't have one of those things, so you're sort of left to your own devices. And it's a bit of a run to get from inside, down like five flights of stairs, down to like the train to get to it on time. And I got stuck, as I usually do, behind slow walkers. I don't know what it is about that part of town, but everyone just walks slow and together in like a line of five people, and they're blocking you off from like getting it done. So I've...
Getting what done? Getting...
getting from point A to point B in an efficient, manner. And as I'm going down there, I'm listening for the train to arrive, and I hear one pulling up. Now, I don't know at this point whether it's at my side or the opposite side, so I'm getting a little kind of amped up, and I'm now picking lines that I have to, jump through. And I'm dodging a couple of people, and I'm making it around, and I turn the corner right at the point where I'm now, I get a little glimpse of which train is coming in, and in fact, I saw at that moment
my train.
So now I'm like picking it and trying to figure out, because the other train apparently just landed. So one side of the stairwell is flooded with people coming up the stairs, and the other side of the stairwell that I'm on is now sort of starting to be bottlenecked up behind a group of three or four really slow kids, kind of like teenagers or whatever, that were walking, three or four from side to side. And, if it's one or two, I can squeeze past them or
but
something.
But if it's a
like
chorus
that.
Line of teenagers.
Yeah, and they're walking slow and they're talking, they're not paying attention. And, I'm trying to like, oh, geez, kind of, alert them to the fact that there's people behind them.
Is that how you passively, aggressively
sort of,
tell people, oh, come on.
I want to give them the chance before I bowl them over, basically, but I thought I had my line picked. I could have tried to run down the up staircase and dodge the other people, but then I would just be running downstairs, and I figured, it's not that desperate of a situation. I got some time, and I landed smack behind those people. I started huffing and guffing,
And they started acknowledging that I was being a jerk. And they're like, yo, what are you going so fast for? Where's the fire, you know? So I was just like, oh, I was so frustrated. And right when the last line of people kind of were coming up the stairs, I actually did like a little parkour movement. I hopped over the stairs in the middle of the
singer of that. The singer of that band is so hot. That girl from Parkour, I love her.
Yeah, what is that kind of movement? I don't know what that is. I'm
parkour. It's like,
Street. It's the street stunt walking type thing. Yes. Freestyle walking.
It's like skateboarding without a skateboard.
It's what O.J. Simpson did during the Avis commercials.
I still
when
don't
he's
know
running
what it
through
means,
the.
You know what freestyle walking is, right?
No.
You were a big freestyle walking fan in the 90s. Like dudes who just
like walking while you listen to Noel, Silent Morning.
Exactly. Like no, like dudes that do tricks with their shoes, basically. In all honesty, if you've never seen anything like it, go to YouTube one day and just watch, just type in parkour, and you will just sit there all day and go insane. It's
it
so
is.
Much
parkour
amazing
videos
thing.
Are fascinating, and it's become translated to like action movies now. Like all the stuntmen or many of the stuntmen who are really good at parkour, it's now sort of this like. Chase scenes now in movies are so much better that parkour has become kind of, you know, acceptable to do because they're jumping through things, they're tiny little holes that they're diving through, or jumping underneath hand railings and, like, you know, riding down.
Jumping off buildings.
Yeah.
Jumping over things. It's crazy. By the way, our buddy Spickle points out in the Heroes Talk room, speed walking faggot.
Yeah.
And
it's hardcore speed walking.
Right, I understand. And Jay Carter's talking about that he thought what it was called urban gymnastics.
some people call it that. Well, anyway, I did like a fancy little movement. And I mean, at that time, I'm usually when I'm running down the stairs.
Pop the wheelie.
I'm taking stairs, you know, by two. And sometimes I have like a hand on a railing, but sometimes I don't. I've messed that up a couple times and taken a nosedive.
Can I just say, it sounded like you were bragging. Sometimes I'll take stairs by two. I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I've been known to take two
that
stairs at a time.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm definitely running down those stairs like you've never seen anyone run downstairs. Before, and it's very timed, it's balletic. I'm good, I'm getting better. And that happened at the top of the second stairwell. I had to jump over them, jump over the stairwell, get on the opposite side, run down, and then get out of that stairwell to avoid the other traffic. And then I had to scooch by two more people who were slower in front of them.
Run, Indy. Scooch.
As I'm going down that second flight of stairs and I'm going for the subway, the group of teenagers behind me are now realizing that they're about to miss the train. So they're like, they start running down the stairs for it. And they're like bowling over the two people who I just passed. I made it into the subway car and turned around at the doors and watched the doors close. I could have held on to it and let those people come in. And I watched it close. Ding, dong, boom. And they came right up to the window, and they were just kind of like, oh, and I flipped my middle finger right up in their face, and I laughed. And I was like, all right.
And then the doors opened back up. The group of teens came on and beat the living piss out of you.
I worried that was going to happen, but it didn't. It went away, and I turned around with such like a sense of satisfaction, and some guy in the seat behind me gave me the stink face for being a jerk, which basically is what I was doing, but he didn't have the whole context of,
you
what
given
are you
him
doing
the,
walking full fast for?
You should have given him the evil eye.
If I was thinking,
if you were just scooched by him, everyone would have been known it was fine. Everything would have been great.
It's that thing that happens. I feel great for like the second, then I just am overwhelmed by guilt, and it happened again, and I just walked to the opposite end of the car and sat down.
Knowing what you're capable of, relatively benign, not that big a deal. You flipped someone off for clogging the artery that you felt like.
Right,
traveling.
But I'm an adult now, and I'm flipping off teenagers.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You don't
confuse yourself. Just because in years you're a senior citizen, you are not an adult. You are as close to a child as, you know, as my daughter. Like, you are a child, 100%.
Closer.
It was fun.
I'm not begrudging you for that. But to call yourself an adult, you're crazy.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
You say that about feeling guilty. I was on the bus, on the same bus. As a matter of fact, if either of your wives checked the possible voicemail that was left when I accidentally called them, you might have heard this guy that gets on the bus, usually my bus if I get the same bus every morning, and I feel bad. The guy's about 40. He's obviously mentally challenged. And he's a guy that every woman that gets on the bus, he says, "Hello, ma'am. hey, ma'am, have a good day at work, ma'am. You know, he's being friendly, polite, which is fine. The insane thing about this guy to me is that that's 90% of what you'll get from him. But then all of a sudden, and I would love to curse right now to give the full effect, but I won't.
Go for it. Please, enjoy yourself.
He'll say, hey, ma'am, hi, you going to work? And then, like a lot of women, like, if they know him already, they'll, hi, how are you? You know, like, if they don't know him, they'll be a little leery. And then I guess they realize, and they're like, yeah, and they're like, okay, you know. And he'll say, all right, have a good day, ma'am, have a good day, ma'am. And then out of nowhere, what the fuck is taking so long? Oh, my God, it's so fucking slow. And then everyone's just like, holy crap, what's going on?
the best thing is our buddy Jay Carter's pointing out when he says, like, oh, hi, ma'am. Hey, how you doing? How's it doing? Next time I say, hey, dude, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
So everyone thinks this guy's going to blow up the bus at any moment when he starts
And that's very rare. I've only seen that a couple times. As a matter of fact, one of the other times was about a year ago. I was in Burger King, and he comes in, and I'm like, oh, great. And he's ordering food, and he's like, he's being over polite. Thank you so much. Oh, I appreciate it. Oh, those fries are good. Oh, what the fuck is taking so long? I was just like, I have to get out of here.
It's Brian.
So every time this guy gets on the bus, I want a large Coke. And I don't have and I don't have headphones on. It's kind of like, well, I'm either gonna, you know, I don't I don't mind. This guy can say hi to people, as far as I'm concerned, you know. But it's like, I don't mind. But it's like, I really don't feel like hearing this guy curse and yell and scream right now. And then I feel guilty. So that's what I wanted to say.
I think he's a nice guy. I got no problem with him. I think
he's our guest next week. By the way,
he's a great fellow. What the fuck's taking so long? Next week. I'm excited for him. You guys are talking about all this travel stuff. It's got me all wound up about the bus, and I'm glad that you know you're talking about trains.
Jerome Bettis?
Yes, exactly. The wheels on the bus go round and round. And I'm glad you brought up the bus. I take the express bus every day to work, and I've got a lot of ideas pulsing through my mind on what needs to happen on a bus to make a bus work better, to make it more efficient, to make our roadways work better, to make life work better. And I've got these inventions and ideas that I think need to happen. I just want to run a couple of them by you, see if you guys are with me on them. Okay. Number one. The weather, when you're outside, is a certain temperature. The bus has a climate control system on the bus. Let's say, for example, it's the middle of summer and it's 99 degrees out. What do you think that climate control device on that bus is going to be set to?
60, 72,
65, 74.
Well, I don't necessarily mean a temperature. Cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
Comfortable.
No. This is my point. Cold. Let's say it's winter time and it's freezing outside. What do they set the climate control to on your bus?
Hot seat.
Hot. You're a person who's been standing on a bus stop wrapped in 100 coats, helmet, and somehow a hang gliding outfit, but like you're,
and a bear hugging you.
Exactly. You are covered for this. What would be the most convenient thing that you'd need to do as soon as you get onto a bus wrapped up like this? Be in an oven and have to strip yourself nude to be able to go through the bus. On the same thing goes the other way. It's a million degrees out. You want to peel your skin off. You're walking around naked. Hey, let's get in an ice box after this.
You know, it's not only bus. This is something I deal with at my job. Like, during the summer, I have to bring a sweatshirt. Because it's 98 degrees out, but once I walk in there, it's 42 degrees inside.
What are those? The Lachey brothers with 98 degrees, right? I love those guys. But yeah, I can't stand it. I was on the same type of thing. The reason I'm thinking this and why this came up today is these past couple of days are the first days of like, hey, maybe I could actually wear a jacket to work because it's kind of starting to cool off. It's starting to get autumn-y. You know, so I brought a jacket with me, and I'm wearing my jacket at the bus stop, and I got to take my jacket off when I get on the bus. Because they have the heat on my bus already. In August, it's 60-something degrees out, and they have the heat on. Like, shut up. Like, but they didn't say anything, but they should have shut up if they were saying something. So it aggravated me. That's just so my recommendation, my invention, one of the things that needs to happen is someone needs to control the climate on the bus.
God does that.
I always think that about, like, supermarkets, too. Like, it's blazing hot out, and you walk into a supermarket, and you see old ladies going, it's freezing in here.
It's messed up that you say that because Jay Carter points out that's some real old lady shit you're talking about right there. And it really is.
Well, but we're not all old ladies at this point.
Well, I am. I know that I am. I'm trying to get myself sexy to not
be. I
think
I actually look like one sometimes.
Yeah. My other invention, by the way, is computerized roadways.
Wait a minute. That first invention was just making air conditioners and heaters more efficient.
Well, I said...
That's what that was.
Inventions slash ideas.
His invention was the person setting the temperature to not set it so cold or so hot. That's his invention.
Invention slash ideas.
He invented an idea in the head of the person setting it.
I said slash idea, no? Oh,
that's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Right. Here's my other invention slash idea. Bus stops should be closer together. No. My other big invention is computerized roadways. How are we not at the point in the world that we can't just plug our car into some sort of computer that will digitally move us into this digital roadway, maybe run by air, that we could fly at like crazy speeds and get through things? We've got like computers that could do everything. Why have they not done this?
You know, about 6 or 7 years ago, they were testing those out.
They existed?
Yeah, in California. They were making like certain roadways and parkways that they were trying it out with. And they had certain cars that they were doing it. And you can watch the videos where literally they're bumper to bumper going like 60 miles an hour. And no one's driving it. It's just, and it's going on the side of the road. But, I mean, I think that's a massive retrofit, like, to get every single road out there. Because eventually you're going to, if you don't get every single roadway retrofitted with that, you're going to run into, you're not going to expect that it's coming. And you're going to get to a road that just hasn't been retrofitted
yet.
You're screwed.
You have one lane. You have one lane that, I guess, but maybe your car needs to be a hybrid. Your car can come off the computerized roadway and onto a regular roadway after that.
I feel like I always felt that was kind of dangerous because I'm thinking just knowing people and how stupid they are. Like, people are just going to start sleeping and they're going to run out of road eventually and they're just going to, you know, like at the top of an escalator, not know how to get off and just start piling into each other.
They deserve to die.
I just think that it's 2008. It's 2008. It's almost 2010, A Space Odyssey, you know, and we don't even have computerized roadways yet.
We should have flying cars.
Yeah, you know what? Even air-powered computerized cars are fine. They're fine. I just want to point out that it's being pointed out in the chat room by our buddy Stickle that we are not having any Rent songs this week to end off the show, and I just want to say that I'm a little bit sad about it. I'm a little bit disappointed. But we are going to play some sort of songs because we're going to be getting out of here. We want to say a special thank you to everybody for hanging out with Best in the Show tonight, being a part of this. This is a band called Cradle, by the way. It's Fred's old band. Our buddy Pickle Pants is involved in it, who's going to be doing a podcast. It's going to be coming out soon. You guys are going to be able to check it out. It's exciting. Special thanks to all of you for checking us out and hanging. Special thanks to DJ New Style, Solera, Vito, and Michelle for calling into the program. And I'm trying to think of the same thing else I have to say. Oh, that's right. Cocky Socks, Steamroller, Roll Over Your Face. See you guys on the radio. Peace. Don't forget, this Sunday, it's Thursday, 11 a.m., here on Heroes Talk.